Okay. Good morning. This year is called 12 Tribes and the Firstborn Right of Two Tribes. Okay. So it's going to be Chumash, Rashi, and Breishis. So it'll be helpful for you to have it. We're going to be a lot of different Rashis. So it'll be easy to, get the psukim helpful here. So I'm going to preface it by its World of Medrash. It's a little bit more speculative, maybe, than some of the other World of Medrash years, which says something, and hopefully we'll be able to discern what's more solid, what's a little more speculative, and I'll leave that for you to figure out. Okay. So let us start with we're really trying to understand the Bechorah of Shnei Shvatim, right? The fact that the Bechor took two Shvatim, Menashe and Ephraim, really. Okay, so we're going to start with Reuven, where Reuven lost the Bechorah. Okay, so the first place is when Reuven is born. In Bereishis, Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Leah says, you don't have to look up all these Rashis if you know them, so, but if you want to, it's fine. It says, Vatikra Shmo Reuven. So she called him Reuven. She says, Rabbi Sina Pirshu, Amru Reuma Bein Bini Leben Chami. Look at the difference between Reuven and Esau. Shemachar Bechor Yaakov, Esau sold the Bechorah to Yaakov. Machal Yosef, Lo Yiralav. So Reuven never sold the Bechorah to Yosef. And he still wasn't Ma'arer. He still didn't dispute it. He didn't argue with it. Below, not only is Shalo Yiralav, not only did he not dispute the Bechorah, El Shabiki Shlotziyam Bor. He wanted, Reuven wanted to save Yosef. That's how Leah named Reuven. Okay? A mila between comparing Reuven to Esau, where Esau sold it, Reuven did not. And Esau was Ma'arer. He never really accepted it, as we'll see. And Reuven didn't, but you see, ultimately, the Bechor transferred seemingly from Reuven to Yosef. That's kind of what I'm trying to get from here. Then, if you look after Reuven's sin in Pasuk Lam Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chav Gimel, okay, so okay, actually Chav Beis Perek Pasuk Chav Beis Vayhi Bishkon Yisrael Ba'aretz Ahi. So Reuven went and he, according to Rashi, he moved the bed of Yaakov that was going to be by Bilhah after Rachel died. He moved the bed. Yaakov put his bed, his tent, in the Ohel of Bilhah. Reuven didn't like that because his mother, he thought, should get next in place after Rachel died. He said, the Shifcha of my mother should go instead of my mother, and therefore he mixed the beds. That was his sin. There's a break in the middle of the pasuk, which is very unusual. There's a break in the middle of the pasuk, and it says, "Vayibnei Yaakov shnei masar." Yaakov has 12 children. That's what it says right after the break, after Reuven's sin. Then, "Bnei Leah bechor Yaakov Reuven." It says, even though you Reuven sin, it says bechor Yaakov. Right? Rashi points it out. Even b'shas kilkala, he calls him the bechor. Reuven didn't lose the status of bechor. Rashi says, Bechor Lenachala, Bechor Lavoda, Bechor Laminyan. Reuven was the Bechor for inheritance, presumably meaning getting a double portion from Yaakov or something along those lines. Bechor for Avoda, like Bechoros did the Avoda, when the father, I guess, had to bring a karban, presumably Reuven would be the one to help him out. That's, I guess, Ramban interprets something like that. Bechoros actually kept the Avoda until the Chet Egel. Bechor Laminyan, he's a Bechor for being counted first. And it is the point. V'lo nasna bechorah leYosef ela inyan hashvatim shenasa l'shnei shvatim. So the bechorah was only given to Yosef for two shvatim. Okay, that Yosef became two shvatim, Menashe and Ephraim. Okay, and the question is like this. One more just to prove this point. Okay, there's an open pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. The Bechor went from Reuven to Yosef. It's Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph and Divrei Yamim, Aleph and Beis. It says, Ubnei Reuven Bechor Yisrael, Ki hu ha-Bechor, Reuven was the Bechor, Bechalo Yitzui Aviv, and when his Mechalel did desecrated the bed of his father by doing this sin, Nitna Bechorasel Ubnei Yosef Ben Yisrael, V'lo Lisyaches LeBechoros, so the Bechor was given to Yosef. Not that he's Yaches HaBechor, not that he was, Yosef was considered the Bechor. Ki Yehuda Gavar B'Echav L'Nagin Imenu, Yehuda was the Melech, Bechor El Yosef, but the Bechorah of Shnei Shvatim presumably went to Yosef. So an open pasuk that Reuven, because of his sin, lost the Bechorah and it was given to Yosef, right? Okay. So one question, we're not going to come back to this till much later, but is there's just a problem of giving the Bechorah, transferring the Bechorah from the real Bechorah to somebody else, okay? So there's Psukim in Devarim. The Psukim in Devarim, it's Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Tesvav through Yitzayin, right? Kisiyana Yishtei Nashim Hachas Uva Vachas Nua. A person has two wives, one he loves, one he hates. Okay, so Yaakov has two wives, Rachel and Leah. He loves Rachel, right? Leah he hates, or at least the pasuk says it that way. He doesn't really hate Leah, but compared to Rachel, there's just relative. Two wives, one's favored, one's not favored. So we know the Avos kept the Torah, so you're not allowed to to give the Bechorah to the son of the one you love, to Yosef, as opposed to Reuven. Ki yaseh Bechor ben asnua yakir, lases lo pishnayim b'chol sheim matzeh lo, ki hu reishis ono lo mishpat Bechorah. So he's reishis ono, he's the first of his strength, and he is the mishpat of Bechorah. So it's true, Rashi says, that Reuven didn't lose the Bechor for Nakalah, for Avodah, for Minyan, but he did lose the Bechor, it sounds like, from Rashi's and the Psukim, that the Bechor was taken from Reuven and given to Yosef for the Shnei Shvatim. So why isn't that a violation of the Daraisa of Lo Yuchal Levakir, that you're not allowed to take the Bechor away from the son that you that deserves it, the Mishpat Bechor, the Reishis Ono, the first born son of the father, and give it to the other one that you love more, or right, the son of the Yosef, the son of Rachel, right? Okay, good. Another question. And now, if you look at when Yaakov actually does this to Reuven in Vayechi, Perek Memtes Pasuk Pasuk Gimel, so Yaakov like introduces it by making reference to the pasuk in the Torah. He says, "Reuven Bechori Ata, you're my Bechor, Kochi Vereishis Oni." By references the pasuk Vereishis Oni, Yeser Seis Vyeser Oz. Right, pachas kamayim al toser aki alisa mishkevi avicha az chilat yitzuya ala. So because the sin of the chilul of the yitzua of moving the beds, right, from Bila to Leah, so he lost yeser seis v'yeser az. So Rashi says there, what does it mean? Yeser seis, he should have been greater by raising. So Rashi says lios yaser ala achecha b'kahuna. You should add the avoda lashon siyas kapayim v'yeser oz b'malchus from v'yitin oz l'malko. Right, and what caused you to lose all these things? His sin. He was mechalel the shechina. Rashi says, "Az chilata ososh ala yitzui shechina sheyadakar lios ala yitzui." The shechina used to go up on Yaakov's bed, right? And the Rashi in Shabbos, I think it's on Daf Nun Hey, says that the shechina would tell Yaakov which bed to go to of his different wives in order to build the shiftei ka. And Reuven was mechalel that shechina. And therefore, he lost the avodah ultimately. This wasn't fully taken away from; it wasn't realized this nevuah of Yaakov until the chet of the egel and the bechoros lost the avodah and was transferred to Sheva Levi. And the malchus was ultimately given to Yehuda. Again, it wasn't fully realized until David was chosen. But Reuven lost the malchus and the avodah. Okay, so the question again is. One question is, why isn't it mentioned that he lost the Shnei Shvatim? Why isn't that mentioned? Right, the Pasuk Deva Yomer mentions it. Rashi points it out that it was given for him to Yosef. So why in the bracha to Reuven, blah, bracha, I call it a bracha, why doesn't it mention the fact that he also should have got Shnei Shvatim and instead that was given to Yosef? Right? Why isn't that mentioned? Why isn't the Pasuk mention it? Why isn't Rashi or the Pasuk, either one, right? I don't think any either Rashi or the Pasuk mention it. Why isn't it that there? Okay, whatever, you know. It's one of those questions if you have an answer to it. It's yeah.
Sorry, can you clarify something? Who not? It was treasured up in the
Chedorah. At the Chedorah, yeah.
Is it a preference here? I mean,
that the fact that the kuna went to Levi? It is, if you actually look in Levi's bracha, Yaakov does say, he's a chalkin b'yaakov afitzin b'yisrael, that he gave it to Levi through Maisos and Shrumos, derech kavod.
Did Reuven lose it?
Did Reuven lose it? I think, look, it's you wouldn't even see over and over in this year, is that just because you have a nevuah, it doesn't mean it happens right then. The nevuah has to be actualized and realized. So it seems like Reuven lost it, ultimately lost it because of his chet, but that it wasn't actualized until the chet ha'egel. What does the chet ha'egel have to do with the sin of Reuven? So there's a shia I gave called the firstborn failure, which tries to connect Reuven's sin to the chet of the egel. His failure to be the paradigm of what a bechor is ultimately caused the bechoros, who followed him as the paradigm of what a bechor, ultimately led to the chet ha'egel. Okay, Reuven's sin was had a lot of ramifications. All the Bechors, Reuven, but Reuven was the Bechor of Yaakov, and presumably when Yaakov had to do Avodah, Reuven would be the one to help him out because Bechors did Avodah. Any Bechor from then on, but Reuven had that right of Bechor, Avodah, and the Avodah remained with Bechors permanently until Shevet Levi took it over. For example, Nachala, Reuven got a double portion of Nachala of Yaakov, presumably. And even in Eretz Yisrael, Rashi points out, I think it's Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Vav, I don't really have it here, but in the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael, the Bechor has got double, so that will always remain with the Bechor. All Bechor, these chus of the Bechor for all generations, Bechors always are counted first for Minyan, Bechors get a double portion of their father's estate, and Bechors were supposed to get always be the ones to do the Avodah. Reuven had that because he was the Bechor of Yaakov. So he helped him with the Avodah, he got a double portion of Yaakov's estate. He was always counted first. On the Choshen, on the Ephod, Reuven goes first. Ultimately, though, he lost the Kahuna and the Malchus, but that happened later on. That was realized. Right? Okay. The whole thing is good? Okay, good. The whole thing is very complicated. We're just getting started. It is complicated what happened with this before. It's very complicated. The before of Yaakov is super complicated. That's the main thing about this year is trying to figure out what's happened. So we're just starting. We're just trying to figure out what is Reuven's the before. In Klaiso, you have this institution of Bechor that's Ladoros that exists, but on the other hand, Reuven does lose something. So we're trying to figure it out. Okay. Reuven lost the Pishnaim of Shvatim. But Rashi says by Nachala, Reuven did keep it. Yosef got two shvatim, but let's say Yaakov's money, when he died, he had to divide it. Presumably Reuven got a double portion. All the other brother sons got one, and he got two. In terms of shnei shvatim, to become two shvatim. No, you see Rashi says that. The nachla, what? It went by, see Rashi and... Yeah, Rashi says in Memches Vav, he says Apishinet Nechaka Aretz Laminyan Gugalosam, like the land was divided by peoples. So who cares if you're two shvat and one shevet? Doesn't make a difference. Just makes how many kids does Yosef have? Who cares? He's Kedichziv L'Rav Tarbu Nachalasa V'Chol Ish Nato B'Shav V'Chutz Mina B'Choros. The B'Choros did take double in general of the because just we get double portion. The Komakav Lo Nikru Shvatim Ela Elu. So that's what Menashe and Ephraim were two shvatim on for the Degalim, for example, or there's like two portions in Eretz Yisrael, one called Menashe, one called Ephraim. So vis-a-vis that, they got Shnei Shvatim, right? When Levi becomes irate, when Levi is not counted as a Sheva, Menashe and Ephraim are two, and Yosef's the only one who's counted as two shvatim. Okay? That was not Reuven, but it was... That was Yosef who got that, Shnei Shvatim. But no, Bechoros got a double chelik in Baretz as opposed to non-firstborn sons. There's three brothers. Right. The Bechor got a double portion compared to a regular one. So that was always true. And the Bechoros always were the ones who did Avodah. Right? They brought Karbanos at Har Sinai. They're the ones who brought Karbanos until the Chet Ha'egel. And in Minyan, Bechoros always go first. Okay, Shnei Shvatim was what Reuven lost. Okay.
A quick question. Is it possible to read that because Reuben moved the bed, he caused he prevented like a maybe perhaps a 13 Shevet to be born from Bilhah, so maybe that's why it had to be like. Do we know that it all along is going to be 12 Shvatim? And...
I can't hear the sound isn't very good. It's hard for me to make out the question.
Oh, I wrote on chat on the chat.
On the chat. Okay. Perhaps he prevented a 13 Shevet to go. Oh, very good. Excellent. That's one of my big chidushim. Okay, good. So somebody else said it then, not me. Okay, good. We're gonna get to that. Okay, we're gonna get to that. Maybe. Very good. So hold off on that. Okay, good. So one question is why not mention the Shnei Shvatim? Okay, and also you could ask why does losing the like the Pasan Divrei Yom, he lost the Malchus to Yehuda, why isn't that a problem with Yuchal Levakir? Right? Yeah. Go ahead, Nona.
So there seems to be a premise that was going to be two extra Shvatim. Why is that even like?
Oh, okay, very good. That's a really good question. Excellent question. We're going to get to that. That's a really good question. What is that? That's a weird thing, right? Yeah, good. Okay, that's one of the main questions. Okay, good. Yeah. So for Lo Yuchal Levakir by the Melech and the Avoda, ultimately lost both. So you could say is that see being the Melech is not really a zechus of bechor. Okay, it's not like a bechor becomes the Melech. It's true that if a king, when a king has a son, the bechor becomes the king, or if the Kohen Gadol has a son, as a bechor, the bechor becomes a Kohen Gadol, but that's only if he's able to fulfill his position of in Chachma and Yiras Shamayim. So it just bechor goes. Sometimes a bechor gets it not because he's the bechor, like a Pishnayim Mishpat Bechorah. Sometimes it's just the eldest son gets the. Inherits the position of the father if he's able to fill his place in Chachma and Yira. Okay? And like, for example, sometimes, like by Yibam, it's a B'chor Asher Teled, Yakum HaShem Achav HaMeis. Sometimes you just say the oldest is called the B'chor. So by King and Kahuna, that's not really a Mishpat of B'chor, it's just the one who is most fitting to take the Kahuna and the Malchus would have gone to the oldest. If he's not right, he goes to the next best. If he's not right, he goes to the next best. So Reuven wasn't right. Shimon and Levi, we saw what happened to them. So then it goes to Yehuda. He's the next up, you know? So that's how you could, that's not really a violation of Mishpat HaBechorah. It happens all the time in Klal Yisrael. If the king's son, the oldest son, is not appropriate, you skip over him and it goes to the next one. Okay? They're going to have to be a Bechorah, exactly. Exactly, but Yibam also, before Asher Teled doesn't have to be before. It's the oldest son. Exactly, it's not really before. Exactly. Okay, so that's what you can answer for those questions. But over here, Shnei Shvatim seems to be a Pishnayim, seems to be, a, it's called a Bechorah. In the Psukim, it's called a Bechorah, it's, right? So it seems that you can't quite say that. I'm going to, but you can't, doesn't seem like it. Okay. Okay, now the main problem, which starts the whole shiur off, is Perek Memches Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Sorry, Chaf Beis. Memches Chaf Beis. Okay, so this is really the difficult Rashi. Okay, so Yaakov is talking to Yosef, and he says to him, "Vani nasati lecha Shechem achar alachecha, asher lakavtem yad ha'amori b'charbi u'b'kashti." So I'm going to give you. Okay, so I'm going to do the Davar Acher in Rashi. Okay, Davar Achers are important. Okay, so the simple pshat, the real pshat, what some might call, is Shechem Echad means literally Shechem, Shechem Mamish. Okay, and he took Shechem Mamish, Becharbi Bekashti, with his weapons when Shimon and Levi killed Anshei Shechem, and they were all going to gang up to try to kill Yaakov. Yaakov, you know, armed himself, and he took Shechem from the Umos Olam. Okay, that's first pshat. The Davar Acher is what we're interested in. Rashi says, what does Shechem Achad mean? Ki ha-bechorah. So Shechem Achad means it's the bechorah. She yitlu ban of shnei chalakim. So he's giving Yosef the bechorah that his children should get two shvatim, two chalakim. The Shechem lashon chalakim. So Shechem is a portion. So he's saying, I'm giving you an additional portion over your brothers. Okay. The rest of the Rashi just shows you that the word Shechem can mean a chalak. So what does it mean, though? He's giving him the bechorah. An extra portion over his brothers. Asher lakach de miyad ha-mori. What does it mean? He took them from the mori. So Rashi says miyad esav. So this he took this chelik echad of the bechora of two shvatim, he took from Esav, she'asa ma'isa emori, okay, who acted like a non-Jew, an emori. Davar acher she'yitzad aviv b'imefiv. So either way, Rashi, the first part of the davar acher, it's learning Esav, right? According to this view of it means the bechora pishnayim, he took it from Esav. So it wasn't even the chayvi b'kashti. So Rashi says he chachmasi tfilas. So Cherev is like Yaakov's chachma, and Bakashi is his bakasha, his tefillah. So he took the bechora from Esav through his chachma and his tefillah. Okay. So the question is really, is this Rashi? It just almost doesn't really make any sense. What is Rashi talking about? What does it mean? He's giving Yosef this bechora of two shvatim, which he took from Esav. What does that mean, he took from Esav? I mean, he took it from Reuven, maybe, right? It was taken from Reuven. Reuven was the Bechor Yaakov. Presumably, Reuven should have gotten Shnei Shvatim because he was the Bechor, right? And then Reuven lost it, and Yaakov's giving it to Yosef. Okay, how you get around the Lo Yuchal Levaker, whatever, but he's giving it from Reuven to Yosef. What are you talking about? He took it from Esav. Esav is Yitzchak's Bechor, right? This doesn't make any sense. The whole Rashi didn't make any sense. Was he took it? Okay? Really hard problem. Really hard problem, which justifies everything that's going to follow. Okay? Okay? Okay, that's good. Okay, very good. Okay, you see, it's not so speculative. You see? Okay, good. We're gonna get okay, good, very good. Okay, that's good. Yeah, so it would seem you have to go in that direction. Okay, you're one Rashi early, but okay. Yeah, it would seem that you have to say something like that. That this Bechor of Shnei Shvatim was going to Esav. He was gonna be split into Shnei Shvatim and Yaakov got it from him. Even so, even if you say that, so what? But now Reuven is the Bechor, and still Yosef is getting it from Reuven, right? I mean, still, even if you say that, still difficult, right? Still need a whole shear to justify that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. That's a real problem. What exactly is that talking about? And if you look there, what did Yaakov buy from Esau? So in Perek Chafei Pasuk Lamed Aleph, when Rashi explains the sale of the Bechorah between Yaakov and Esau, he says to him, Esav says, Yaakov records the conversation. He says, Aviyomer Esav, it's Pasuk Chavez, Hine Anochi Holech Lamos V'Lamazel Li Bechora. And Rashi says, there he says, Esav records the conversation. He says, Amar Esav, Mativa Shel Vodazu. Where Yaakov said, what's the Bechorah? It's the Avodah's Bechoros. Yaakov said, in Rosh Hashanah Kedai, Shiakov Kadosh Baruch Hu. He said, what is the nature of this stuff? Amalei Kamas Haras V'Onshin Misasa Slurim Bo. There's a lot of misos and punishments. Jesu Yayin Pure Rosh. If you go into Mikdash and you do Avodah, you drink wine, you're having a haircut in 30 days, you chai Misa. Amar Ani Holech Lamos Ayadin Kim Machafetz Liba. So Yisa says, I have no interest in this, right? I have no interest in this thing. And he, right, so it sounds like it's just the avoda of helping out his father with the karbanos and being the avoda. Now you see, it seems to include Shnei Shvatim. Presumably, he also had Nachala and Minyan and all these other things, right? So you can answer that, but why is Yaakov only telling Esav about that? How is that proper? So you see, Yaakov is bechachma. Yaakov was intelligent. He's always outsmarting Esav. And he knew to start with this chus of Bechor that Esav, once you tell Esav this, that it has a, if you have the Bechor, you do have Oda. And if you do have Oda improperly, you drink wine. And you have Oda, you chayiv Misa. And then Esav says, I've heard enough. You don't even have to go any further. I am not interested in hearing anymore. I'm going to die from this thing. Anything you tell me is not going to make up for the fact this thing's going to kill me. So just that itself was alone. He said, stop right there. Okay. So all the other stuff Yaakov never had to get to. Yaakov planned this in advance. You know, he knew he had this worked out. He knew exactly what to say to Esav. And once Esav did this, Esav's 15 years old. He's coming back from killing Nimrod. He's, in a manic state. And he's vazed, he throws it away just from hearing that one thing. He doesn't want to do the avodah. He doesn't want to be chayav misa. Okay, so Yaakov gets him to sell the bechorah, because nothing else matters if you're going to die, right? None of these things matter. Okay.
I mean,
Yeah.
so what's just in the Rashi, there he says that Sheyatilu banav shnei chalakim. So what's the pshat of that? Is that you're saying that's nachala or that's two shvatim or all the above?
Rashi says that's two shvatim, right? Rashi says that's, he says, if you look at Pasuk Chav Beis, he said, that Yosef's children will take two portions. So
Right, I'm
that
saying
means.
is that Nachala or that's everything? That's like the Galim and
Ephraim. Manasseh and Ephraim.
no, I'm saying, but is it for the purpose of having two portions of Nachala
Yeah,
in
Eretz Yisrael, you mean? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
Right.
saying
Or the Golem and Asher
okay,
Ephraim.
he's saying it's all of those things.
What?
He's saying it's all of those things that are included in being two Shvatim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like Rashi said earlier, the only thing that Yosef, Lonin Bechor Yosef, Elinin Shnei Shvatim. That was Rashi we saw earlier. That was in Lamed Hei Chaf Gimel. That was the only thing that Yosef really got, that his kids would be two Shvatim, that they'd bring Asher Ephraim. That's what Yaakov gave Yosef, but he got that from Esav somehow.
Right, I understand. Yeah, I was just saying Shnei Chalakim is sounded like it was like an Eretz Yisrael Nachla kind of thing to me, but I
Right.
wasn't
Yeah,
sure.
Rashi's just trying to explain how the word Shechem means a chelek. If you look at the rest of Rashi, he's trying to work the word Shechem into, as
Right.
opposed to the literal place of Shechem, he's trying to work it into the Medrash, into the Lashon of the Klasa.
Right. But Chalak doesn't mean Chalak Nachla only. It means
Right. Means whatever comes with
let's just
Shnei
say
Shechem.
that. Okay.
Right, because Reuven, in terms of Nachla itself, Reuven retained the Nachla of Bechor. Right, Reuven didn't lose that. The only thing that was given to Yosef wasn't Nachla, was Shnei Shvatim, which has an afkamina for Eretz Yisrael, but not for Nachla per se from Yaakov. Rashi says that. He says that in Lamed Hei Chaf Gimel, that Nachla stayed with Reuven. Only Shnei Shvatim was given to Yosef. Okay. Okay, so then we get one more Rashi. I'm already starting to try to give an answer here. So there's one more Rashi. Perek Memches Pasuk Dalet here. Memches Dalet. So Yaakov says to Yosef, right? It says, Vayomer Eli, Hinei this Yaakov recording telling Yosef about the nevuah he had at Beit El. Vayomer Eli, Hinei. Okay, and I'll give you, make you for Kal Amim. Okay, so Rashi says, so Hashem told me at Beit El that I'm going to have more nations come for me. So Hashem said to him at Beis El in Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Yud Aleph, Goyu Kal Amim Yumecha. Okay, Goy Amr Li Ha-Binyamin. So Goy, a nation that's referring to Binyamin. Kahal Goyim, Hareshnayim Levami Binyamin. There's two more besides Binyamin. Goyu Kal Goyim. Vishuv Lo Nalei Libein, and I never had any other son. Okay, so Lamdeni. So I learned from there. So I learned from there that nevuah that one of my shvatim is going to divide, split. Va'ata now oso matana ani nosem lach. That matana I'm giving to you, Yosef. Okay, so that matana I'm going to give to you. So you see from here this Rashi that when Hashem said to Yaakov, Goyu Kal Goyim, that was the Gzeiras HaKasav. That was the Nevuah, which Yaakov took to interpret because he never had any other sons. That would have been one way that could have been realized. Goyu Ben Yamin and Kal Goyim would have been other people. We'll come back to that possibility of other Shvatim. But rather, once Yaakov had no other children, so then Yaakov learns from there, interprets Gzeiras HaKasav, and must be that one of his shvatim is going to divide. And that matana that Hashem's telling him about, that matana he gave to Yosef. Okay? Which, to some degree, it's going to help us on our way. It almost further complicates things in a certain sense. Because now this is, Hashem is giving Yaakov this chus matana, this right that he has to give a matana to one of his kids to be two shvatim. And that's where Yaakov goes on Menashe Ephraim, the very next pasuk, right? Ephraim Menashe Keruvin, Shimon Yoli. And Kiman, this pasuk, Lamed Hey, Yudalf, comes before, and Beitel comes before the Chet of Ruvain. Ruvain sinned in Lamed Hey Chav Gimel, or Chav Beis, right? A few psukim later. So this, he arrived at Beitel before Ruvain even sinned. Hashem is telling him, you have a schus matana to give one of your children to Shvatim. So is it Hashem giving it to him, a schus matana? Is it because later on Ruvain sinned, Ruvain lost it? Or is it he got it from Esav? You know, where exactly is this Shnei Shvatim thing, this Bechor of Shnei Shvatim, where is it coming from? What's its story? How did it get everywhere, right? Strange. Okay. Would Ruvain have been two Shvatim? I mean, I guess it sounds like it, right? Because the Pasuk says, I mean, it's a Pasuk Divrei Yamim, the Bechor was taken from Ruvain. See, Leah said Ruvain, right? She didn't even sell it to Yosef, and it seems like Ruvain would have been two shvatim, maybe. Yeah. Right, it's a matana. I mean, what does it mean that it's a matana to Yaakov? Yeah, what does it mean it's a matana? Right. Right, why does it become matana? Okay, that's a good question. What exactly is matana? Hey, what's Hashem telling you? Is it matana? Hold me strange. Matana to give out? Yeah, it means Ruvain's b'chor. What does it mean he gives matana? Ruvain was... Right. Something was going to happen. Yaakov didn't know how. And he interprets it now on his deathbed, certainly maybe earlier, we'll see possibly. But he interprets it as that one of his shvatim is going to divide into two. Right? That's where he learns it from, almost from the Gzeiras HaKasav of Gayu Kal Goyim. And he had no more children. So this is where Yaakov learns, figures out, right? Limdeni, he's going to have these two shvatim. Okay? Which, to some degree, opens up our eyes to where do you this idea? Okay, let's start here. Is the whole when you try to understand this? Joey's question is from before. Is you have to just reflect just methodologically on this whole bechor of Shnei Shvatim. It's a very strange thing. Where else do you find this bechor of Shnei Shvatim? When does a bechor, when there's multiple shvatim, the bechor tape becomes two shvatim? Where do you find that? Okay, so obviously, in a certain sense, you never find it anywhere else, because the entire zechus of bechor, when you define it in a certain sense halachically, right? A bechor has certain zechusim, pishnayim, mishpat bechora, certain rules and justice of being a bechor. But this phenomenon of an av, a father, by not just any father, but the progenitor of a nation, becoming divided into shvatim, it only happens once. Really, in the history of Klal Yisrael and Torah, right, when Yaakov became Shnei Shvatim, 12 Shvatim, right? So it's really a one-time phenomenon. Now, Reuven's kids, Yossi's kids, Levi's kids, they just, you know, regular kids. They come under the shevet of Reuven, Yosef, Levi, all the different Shvatim. But there's no phenomenon of defining a shevet except in that one-time transition where you go from the era of the Avos to Shvatim. Okay, so it's really a one-time phenomenon. So in a certain sense, how would you even know that there is that a bechor in that transfer from an av to a shevet, a bechor gets a double portion of shvatim? You know what I mean? Like, how do you even know such a phenomenon exists? So one place you could say from this Gzeiras HaKasav. Okay, I mean, see, try to say that it came a little bit earlier. But at the very least from this pasuk, you could see it. Right? But it's not something that's obvious that you would necessarily know existed, that a Bechor should get that. Which is why, together with the point that we see that Yaakov bought this Bechor from Esav, okay, is going to force us to go back in time a little bit, to before the whole Yaakov and Yosef and Reuven story, to go back to the whole phenomenon of an Av becoming Shvatim. Okay, understanding that. Because we know something's going on with Esav, He bought it from Esav, right? Seems something would happen with Esav. Esav would have had the double portion of two shvatim. Right? Esav would have been two shvatim. Yaakov would have been one shevet. Okay, which kind of strange possibility. But even if we say that, right? Let's say that. That creates a problem of Yud Beis Shvatim. What about 12 Shvatim, right? How's that going to work out exactly? So I it's we need to do is just to step back from this problem of Yaakov from Esav, or giving to Reuven and Yosef, and we have to go back to the beginning of when did the first nevuah of Shvatim, an Av to Shvatim, the phenomenon of Shvatim, of having tribes break off from one father. When did that first emerge? When was that first nevuah? Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. We're gonna get to Esav and Yishmael. Okay, we're going back in time. So we have to go. So really, let us start with Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf. Okay. So this is at the end of the Akedah, right after the Akedah, it says, Okay, so Milcah has 12, has eight kids. Right, Utz Bechoro, Boaz Achiv, Kemuel, Aram, all the way down to Besuel. Right, so Milcah's youngest son is Besuel. Besuel Yalad as Rivka. Shmon Ela Yalda Milcah and Nachor Achi Avram. So Avram's brother Nachor marries Milcah, and she has eight kids. Okay, Upilag Sho Shmo Reuma. Right now, you and who cares about this pasuk, right? But whatever, Rashi does. And Nachor's Pilegesh Ruma also has four children. Okay. Now Rashi says, okay, what does it say? Gamhi, right? Hine Yalda Milka Gamhi. Well, what's it was told to Avram that she also did this? What does that mean? I'm supposed to understand what it means that she also did this. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Af hi hishvasa mishpachosel mishpachos Avram Yudbeis. So even Milcah, she equated her family to the mishpachos of Avraham, the family of Avram of 12. Okay, ma Avram Yudbeis Shvatim, just like Avraham was going to be 12 Shvatim. Shiatzim Yaakov ches b'nei gviros dal b'nei shvachos. Eight from the b'nei gviros, Rachel and Leah had eight children, and the b'nei shvachos have four children, Bilhah and Zilpah. Af elu ches b'nei gviros, so Milcah arranged that her family should parallel Avraham's family. That should be eight from the Bnei Gviros. She had eight sons. And Dal Bnei Pilagesh and four from Reuma, the Pilagesh. So Milcah created this equation between her family and Avraham's family. Okay. Well, really weird. Okay, really strange. So who is Milcah exactly? Okay, so this is, I'm just going to do this. Okay, Sarah's sister. Very good. So Milcah comes out. Let me do this quickly. I gave a shiur on it called "The Daughters of Haran." So let me just give you the part that we need for this shiur. I'll do it. I'll try to do it relatively quickly. Okay. So Milcah is first introduced in Parshas Noach in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chaf Tes. So Avram and Nachor take wives. Avram marries Sarai. Nachor marries Milcah. And who is Milcah? And she is the daughter of Haran, Bas Haran, Avi Milcah, Vafi Yiscah. Okay, so she's Sarah's sister. And Yiscah, Rashi says, is Zeus Sarah? How do we know Yiscah is Sarah? Hashem shesocha b'ruach hakodesh, because she saw through ruach hakodesh. Okay, where did Sarah have ruach hakodesh at this point? Okay, it would seem, I think, she had ruach hakodesh because whose nevuah was this, that there's going to be Yud Beis Shvatim from Avraham? Okay, so you could say it's Avraham's. But it seems that if Milcah and Yiscah are being introduced and it's referring to Sarah as Yiscah Ruach HaKodesh, this seems to be Sarah's, I would say. I can't prove it, but it would seem to be it's Sarah's Ruach HaKodesh, Sarah's Nevuah, which her sister knew. Milka is the older sister. That's why she's listed first. You never list her before Sarah, right? But so Yiska, Avram's not marrying two sisters. Milka marries Nahor. Sarah marries Avraham. It would seem that Milka is on a very high level. Okay, she's Sarah's sister. And if you see, if you'll notice, all the imahos come from Milka. Her granddaughter is Rivka, right? Bethuel's daughter is Rivka. When Rivka introduces herself to Eliezer, she specifically references Milka. And Milka's great-granddaughters are Rachel and Leah. Okay, and also according to Rashi, Bilhah and Zilpah. Okay, also Milka's great-granddaughters. And you have this general question. Again, there's a whole shiur, but why is Avram so intent in sending Eliezer to go take a wife from Yitzchak, from Haran, from his father's household in Haran? Why does Rivka demand that Yitzchak send Yaakov to go to Haran to get a wife over there? What is so special about Haran? Nachor is Oved Avodah Zarah, Lavan is Oved Avodah Zarah, Bethuel, Rasha. All the men there are completely Rishayim. Okay, so if you look through there, and again, part of the daughters of Haran, it comes out there's this amazing split. All the men are the Rishayim of the Avodah Zarah, but the women are like the most perfected women in the world, right? You have from Haran, you have Sarah, and you have Milka, and then you have Rivka and Rachel and Leah. And basically, Milka, who couldn't marry Avram, Sarah got Avram, but Milka set up her family to parallel the Yud Beis Shvatim of Avram's family in order to set up in a sense, a women's Mesorah of to create the girls that are going to marry Avram's family. It's Avram's going to have these boys. He can start Yud Beis Shvatim. Who are they going to marry? You need girls in order to produce the Shiftei Kah. And Milka was the one who she couldn't marry Avram, but she married Nahor. But she made it that even though the men were all Rishayim, she set up a Mesorah in the women's household. That's why Rivka told her mother, Beis Ima. And she set up, Milka arranged this whole dynasty of the women in Haran. And that's where all the Imahos come from, all the perfected women for Klal Yisrael came from Milka. That's what she did. Okay, and she had this nevuah, presumably from Sarah, I would think, where she wanted to create the same structure to parallel because these are the girls that are going to match the boys on Avram's side. Okay, how exactly that would work out, she didn't know, but that was her intent, and she was largely successful in producing Rivka and Rachel and Leah. Even though they're in the four men, all the men are Rishayim. Every descendant of Haran on the male side is a Rasha. Lot's a Rasha, Bethuel, Nachor. Okay, but the girls are tzedekas, right? Even, yes, correct, correct. You're building the Yud Beis of the men. But look, what's, I mean, I guess you saw what's happening here. She has a certain amount of control of setting up a woman. There was women's houses then. There were separate ability, and she had the ability to influence the girls. But she didn't have the ability to influence the men, and the men were over there with the Zara Rishayim, but she was able to influence the women, and she did a good job. Right? She did a good job. Okay, so that's Milka, an unsung heroine. Okay.
Did Sarah have the nevuah before Yitzhak, before she had the nevuah for Yitzhak? Or Avraham had the nevuah for Yitzhak?
I can't understand the question. You can try putting it in the chat again, but I can't hear so well. Okay. If it goes up in the chat, I'll take it though. Okay. So now you have this nevuah, which is out there, of 12 shvatim from Avraham, 8 from the Bnei Agviros, and 4 from the Bnei Shvachos, which is an interesting thing that that's part of the whole nevuah from the beginning, that there's going to be 12 shvatim and 8 and 4. Okay. Okay. Now, a good point to say it. I did this year, I prepared this with Dani Kiznicki, my Chavrusa. We worked this all out together. And he had a special point that I should try to explain a little bit why this should be. Okay. Because I'm just defining things. What would be the idea of why you would have 12, 8, and 4? Okay. So I'm just going to give just one basic possibility just so it's not bothering you. Okay. But really, this is the Nevuah, you know. It would seem that the idea of having the Shiftei Ka is you want to have the nation of ultimately Klal Yisrael, you want to have a certain diversity of different talents, different brachos, different perfections that are not that are distributed amongst the different components of Klal Yisrael. And having 12 shvatim, as you see from the Birchos Yaakov to his sons, that allows you to highlight the different perfections and different values and different milos that each shaven has over the other. And it's advantageous not to have like one big homogenous nation, but having a diversity of different shvatim creates for a more complex society, complex nation where everybody has their different milos. But on the other hand, they integrate into a whole and they could share from each other's perfections. But on the other hand, there's like specialists in a certain sense. It's like a higher level, more complex form of a nation than just everybody having, you know, the same perfections. By having everybody having different values and perfections, but coming together, integrated into a complex whole, creates a more robust nation that's able to survive for, you know, till Yimos Mashiach. In addition, there seems to be a need for a hierarchical structure. You don't want it to be everybody's the same, but specifically, there's a B'nai Gviros and the B'nai Shvachos in a 2-to-1 ratio, right? 8-to-4. And that seems to be important that even though you have 12 Shvatim, everybody's, you know, everybody's part of Klal Yisrael, but on the other hand, they're not all the same. And that idea that prevents, if everybody thinks they're the same, that creates fights, that creates machlokas. In fact, as you know, we know that because of Rachel and Leah ultimately became a split in the whole Klal Yisrael because they were the same. But then that doesn't come until later, the idea of four wives. That doesn't come until later. At this point, you just have the idea of B'nai Gviros and B'nai Shvachos. And that's valuable that you have. Not everybody thinks that they're the king. Not everybody thinks they're the same. Okay, so that you want this hierarchical structure. You want complexity. You want certain diversity, and that's all part of what's necessary in order to turn Avram into a great nation. Is this is from the very beginning, this phenomenon of 12 Shvatim and 8 and 4. Why the number 12? Rashi never explains. There is Ramban which says it's to show that it's connected to Mazalos, the Ein Mazal Yisrael. Klal is above the natural forces. But I don't know. That's why there's Ramban that talks about why it's always 12. Okay, but that's all I really have to say on that. But just to give some idea of why is an essential feature of creating a nation, 12 Shvatim and B'nai Gviros and B'nai Shvachos. Yeah.
State of capitalism or because they lack the ability to
That's a good question. I was just taking the first way, just simply to create a parallel between the two, because she's saying I'm making the corresponding dynasty for women to match up with Avram's men.
It's the latter, it's hard to understand.
Yeah, right, correct. Yeah, I'm saying basically Milcah lost out. If Sarah ended up marrying Avram, maybe Sarah was the younger one, you know, the older girl marries the older brother and the younger girl marries the younger brother. Avram's not marrying two sisters, just like Yaakov never would have. We're not for the way it worked out. And Milcah is just, she lost out, but she was at Tzedekes and she wanted to do this. And she made it, she set up her household to parallel because she knew about the Nevuah. She wanted to make it a parallel structure, but not necessarily because, yeah, there was no Yid Beis Shvatim from Nahor, from Milcah, you know? No, it was just to create, correct. It just shows you who she was. That's Rashi, just showing you who Milcah is, really showing you who she is, what she's trying to do, creating that, just so the girls are for the Avram's Shvatim. Okay. Okay, so with this, we see that there is a there was an early nevuah, a very early nevuah from Sarah from the very beginning of Yud Beis Shvatim and B'nai Gviros and B'nai Shvachos. Now, you might ask me a question in Perek Chav Tes Lamed Daled. When Rashi says when Levi is born, okay, when Levi is born. It says, whoops, of Teslam Adalid. He says, Hapami Leve Ishi. So when she has three, Rashi has Lefisha Imahos Nevios Hayu, the Yodos Yud Beshvatim Yotzim Yaakov, the Dal Nashim Yisa. They knew they were Nevios. They knew he would have 12 Shvatim and he would marry four wives. Amra Me'ata Inli Pischon Pelai Sherinallah Kochalki B'banah. Right? And also by Yehuda. Hashem, Pasuklam Shenatati. That's why she gave Hodah. Okay, but you see, there's a little bit of a question. What do you mean, Imos or Nevios? I mean, the Imos and Nevios, they had a Masorah from their great grandmother about Milcah and Sarah, right? So what do you mean they're the Nevios? But it seems that the additional thing that Rashi adds here is Dalet Nashim. Okay, that was a new element that came to Rachel and Leah. That was their nevuah. That not only is it going to be 12 shvatim, 8 from B'nai Gevuras, 4 from B'nai HaShvachos, but also be 4 wives. Potentially calls them Nashim. Again, this is something I'm not going to go into. Bill and Zilp are sometimes called Pilakshim, sometimes called Nashim. It's a whole different, I just don't have time to go into it. You didn't even have that too, right? The other two, but they knew about their nevuah. Okay. If you look at all the imahos, whenever they're involved in nevuah, the nevuah always centers around this, around the Yud Beis Shvatim. Okay, Sarah is over here by Yiska. We'll get into Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah. That's like their nevuah is always surrounds this Milcah, this dynasty of the Yud Beis Shvatim, creating this whole thing. That's what the imahos are always involved in their nevuahs. Yeah. Yeah, that's a real good. What exactly was he thinking there, right? Okay, very good. Yeah, I understand. I understand. That's a real tough problem. We call that a rabbit hole. We'll try to go down that a little later, you know? Okay. Okay. So now let's just take a look at how exactly this nevuah played out. Okay. So one of these, oh boy, one of these premises about just in this world of Medrash. I think in nevuahs in general, certainly in the world of Medrash, it works this way, is that when nevuahs are given, they have multiple ways of being realized. They're not always, they have different possibilities of how the nevuah, for example, Yud Beis Shvatim, 8 from the B'nai Gevuras, 4 from B'nai HaShvachos, how that would have played out. And it depends upon the free will and the bechira decisions of the people involved on how that could have played out. Just to give one example where we see it in the Torah, is the nevuah of Bris B'nai Sarim to Avraham that Ger Yezerecha Beretz Lo Lehem Arba Me'ashana V'Av Divino Sam Arba Me'ashana, I think I confused those two on the side. So is that you're in 400 years of it seems like it's saying of an Eretz Lo Lehem, and you're going to be Av Divino Sam. There's going to be an Avdus and Inoy. So, but how long was the Avdus and the Inoy? Well, that would, ended up being they went down to Mitzrayim for only 210 years. Yeah, at least 81 of the minutes, I thought it was 120 something. Okay, I thought because when the last one, Levi died, Rashi's when Levi died is when it began. Okay, so in any event, but when they went down to Mitzrayim and how long the office lasted, and all these things, that was based upon the sins of the Shiftei Kaav, selling Yosef, and all these different things. So that had different ways of being realized, that nevuah. Okay, so it's not. Just because there's a nevuah, how exactly it plays out in the actual world is dependent upon people's decisions, people's free will. Okay, the nevuah is true and it's going to be realized, but it can be realized in different ways. Okay, so with that in mind, let us see the development of the nevuah of Yud Beis Shvatim to Avraham and the B'nai Gvir and B'nai Shvachos. That there's going to be this hierarchy of Gvir of the you know the Four from the Shvachos and the eight from the Gviros. So now again, this is where I say it's speculative. You're going into what ifs. Okay. So first is like I'm going to do this very briefly. This part I want to focus mostly on the era of Yitzchak and Yaakov and Esav. I'll just say that the first possibility of how this could have been realized is with Sarah and Hagar. Okay, when Sarah couldn't have any children. She gives Avraham a shifcha, her shifcha, and says, "Ulai yibane mimena, maybe I'm going to build through her." It's a little strange. What is she doing? Why is she giving Yaakov a shifcha? And it seems like it's her action of she wants to be the mother of the shvatim from Avraham, but she, in a sense, realizes she can't have kids. Why is she stopping the other part of the nevuah of the B'nai Shvachos from being realized? She chooses her shifcha Hagar to give to Avraham in order for the Hagar to presumably have the four, presumably, the four shvachim. Why not start with that? If you can't have the B'nai Gvirus at this point, the B'nai Shvachos. And it could be if Hagar had recognized her place, that she would have been the mother of the four B'nai Shvachos. But as soon as Hagar got pregnant, right, for the first time she gets pregnant, and she misinterprets the fact that she gets pregnant, and she says she looks down on Sarah, And instead of realizing Sarah is the Gvira, Sarah is the one who's going to be ultimately have the children who are going to be the primary children of Abraham, and she's going to have the secondary children. Hagar says, no, this is, she interprets it the other way. Says the fact that Hagar gets pregnant, Sarah doesn't, Hagar says, something's wrong with Sarah. She looks like she's this big tzedekes, but she's really not. There's ein tocha kevora, she's not, something wrong with Sarah. And Hagar interprets it as Sarah is ultimately rejected, and Hagar is the one now in charge. Hagar is going to be the gvira, right? She's going to be the main one. Sarah basically says, kicks her out. She tries to teach her her place. That no, you're the shifcha. Your children are going to be the b'nei shifcha. My children are going to be the b'nei gvira. She tries to teach Hagar her place. Hagar can't handle that. Hagar runs away. Hagar miscarries the baby. Okay, this certainly would have been the baby that could have been the descendant of Avraham fulfilling the Yud Bei Shvatim, the B'nai Shvachos. I think that baby would have. The Malach tells her to go back. She ends up having Yishmael. When ultimately Yishmael is rejected and kicked out, it could be the Nevuah right before the Bris Milah when Hashem tells Avraham, as Brisi Akim as Yitzchak, not Yishmael, or it could be when Sarah tells Avraham, Lo Yirashcha ben Amazeh b'niim Yitzchak, and says you have to drive out Yishmael, right? Ben Amazeh, your first year, the ben Amah. Sarah realizes that after when Yitzchak's 2 years old, and Yishmael's trying to kill him, and Gila Raish v'chasdam with the Zara, Sarah realizes that Yishmael is not fit to even be the ben Amah, and Lo Yirashcha Zeh, even Yishmael can't even be fulfilling that other role, and Sarah says you have to drive him out. That's Sarah's nevuah. And Hashem says Shema Bekola. Listen to the Ruach HaKodesh she has. Again, you see the nevuahs of Imam's always revolving around this setting up the Yud Bei Shvatim. And Hashem says Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazer, right? And that's when it's essentially Yitzchak. That's in Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, and that seems to be certainly by that point Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazer. That's when Yishmael and Hagar are completely excluded from being the realization of the Yud Bei Shvatim of Avraham. And now it's going to be entirely through Yitzchak, and now Yitzchak becomes an Av. Okay? Certainly with Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazer, Yitzchak becomes an Av. Yitzchak is no longer a Shevet. He's no longer split between Yishmael and Yitzchak, or between Hagar and Sarah. That split, where Avram is the only Av, and then the division happens right away in that first generation. No, Yishmael is not fit. Hagar is not fit. They're sent away completely. And Yitzchak becomes an Av now. And now the split is going to happen through Yitzchak. Okay? I'm not going to go further into the whole Yishmael thing. It's not so simple. We're all work out the Nevuos there. But it definitely seems like that is what's going on in the whole drama between Sarah and Hagar. Is if you understand this background of this Nevuah, of there's the B'nai Gvirus and B'nai Shvachos, you understand why Sarah gave Hagar to Avram, what's that conflict between Sarah and Hagar, and why she's driving her out. Okay. Now we have a problem. Now Yitzchak is the Av. Okay. Yitzchak is the father, and now he's the one who's supposed to start Yud Beis Shvatim of Avraham. Okay. But the Nevuah includes B'nai Gvirus and B'nai Shvachos. Okay. Yitzchak can't have any kids, so it would seem, okay, perfect. Do the same thing. Being set up exactly the same way. Take a shifcha. You'll have Rivka for the B'nai Gviros. You'll have the shifcha for the B'nai Ashvachos. Be perfect. The problem is, Rashi says in Perakah Pei Pasuk Chav Vav that Yitzchak can't take a shifcha because he was an Olah Tamima. You don't have to look at that. He's an Olah Tamima because of the Akedah. And therefore, Rashi points out that he can't take a shifcha. Okay. So now how is this going to work out? How is Yitzchak going to be the father, and you're going to have Yud Bei Shvatim come from him? We have B'nai Gvirus and B'nai Shvachos. If Yitzchak can't take a shifcha because of the Akedas Yitzchak, right? Okay. So what happens? What's the solution? So they daven, and ultimately what happens is Rivka gives birth to twins. Okay, two boys, twin boys, and that's it. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's no more kids. And now Yitzchak is left with trying to ponder what is going on. You have the Gzer Sakas of Kibi Yitzchak Kala Chazera. Yitzchak knows he's the one who takes on the Berchas of Avram. He's the one who's going to continue this legacy of Nirbei Shvatim. On the other hand, that Nevuah includes Bnei Gvirus and Bnei Shvachos, and he knows he can't do that because Hashem told him, don't go down to Mitzrayim because you're an Ol Tamima. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow he knows you can't take a Shivcha, Rashi says, from that. In fact, he's an Ol Tamima. So what's he supposed to do? So the way Yitzchak interprets it is that there's two children, two sons he has. Okay, there's going to be the older son and the younger son. Okay, there must be a Bechor here. There's a Bechor. The Bechor is going to take Pishnayim. It's going to take double. Eight Shvatim will come from Esav. Four will come from Yaakov. Esav is going to be the Adon. He's going to be the Gvir. And Yaakov will be the Ever. Okay? So you're going to work out B'nai Gvirs and B'nai Shvachos, not through two women, but through just these boys. The Bechor will be considered the B'nai Gvirs. His eight Shvatim that will ultimately come from Esav will be considered the B'nai Gvirs, because Esav is going to be the Gvir. Okay? And Yaakov will be the Ever. Okay, where do you really see this openly in Rashi, not just wild speculation? Okay, so you see that in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk, let's see, Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin. So this we're going to spend a little bit of time going through the story of the brachos, when Yaakov took the brachos from Esav. Okay. Did I get this wrong? Yeah, Perek. Of Zion, plus like Lamed above and Lamed Zion. Lamed above and Lamed Zion. Okay. So Esav comes back to Yaakov, to Yitzchak, tells him the whole story, and Yitzchak says to him, so he says, your brother Yaakov took your brachos with Chachma, once again with Chachma Yaakov, right? And Esau says, "Vayomer hachi karashmo Yaakov, vayakvini zeh pamayim, es bechorasi lakach, v'nei ata lakach birchas. Vayomer lo tzanti li bracha." So he says, this is why they called him Yaakov. He tricked me twice. Again, Esau never acknowledged, there's always ma'arer on these brachos. He says, took me twice. First he took my bechora, now he took my bracha. Vayan Yitzchak vayomer Esau, hein gvir samti lach. I already made him a gvir to you. It's an amazing word, right? The gvir. Say, I made you a gvir, him a gvir. And I made all his brothers, you, avadim. Right, what am I going to do for you? Okay. So, Esav says, you only have one bracha? Yeah. Esav, you see, Yitzchak told me, I only have one bracha. And then all of a sudden, Vayani Yitzchak Avi Vayomer, and he gives Esav his bracha, Charbacha Tichya, right? And Kasha Tarei Ufrak Ol Mi'al Tzavrecha, that when Yaakov is down, you'll be up. What happens? All of a sudden, Yitzchak gets another bracha. Where'd it come from? Okay. So if you look in the Rashi and Pasuk Chavav there, it says, Lama Charad Yitzchak. Why did Yitzchak get scared? That was in Pasuk Lama Gil. V'yecharad Yitzchak Charad Gedola. So the Pesach of Gehenna Rash earlier it said, open before him. So what do you get scared for? Amar, Shema Avon Yeshbi, Shebirachti Katan of Negado, Bishanisi Seder HaYichos. So he says, maybe there's a sin. Because Yitzchak always interpreted this idea that there's a Bechor, there's a Mishpat of Bechora. It must be the Bechor is going to get Shnei Shvatim, is going to be doubled. In this case, it'll be 8-4. And that was the Mishpat, a Bechora. And maybe I did something wrong by the fact that I gave the bracha to Yaakov. And why did Yitzchak always feel that he had to give the, make Esav the Gvir, Esav the main one? Okay, because ultimately the Bechora, there's a Mishpat of Bechora. You can't violate the Mishpat of Bechora. And this is about Yetharad Yitzchak Harada Gedola, is he's violating Mishpat, setting up Klai Yisrael on a corruption of justice. Hisrael Esav mitzachek be'akvini zeh pamayim. Esav starts crying. He tricked me twice. Amar lo avi ma'asalecha. What did he do to you? Amar lo es bechora silaka. So Esav says to Yitzchak, he took my bechora. Amar b'kach yisi meitzav v'chare. This is what I was so bothered about. I was suffering. I was terrified. Shema varki ashur sedin. Maybe I violated mishpat. Achshel lebechor berachti. Now I bless the bechor. Gam barachia. He's going to get the bracha. Okay. So you see what's going through Yitzchak's head. What's going through Yitzchak's head is that he knows there's bnei gviros and bnei shvachos. He can't take a shivcha. He can't take a shivcha. But he has these two kids. So Yitzchak interprets the fact that he has twin boys. One's the bechor. One's not. As the realization of Yud Beis Shvatim, and the Gvir and the Evid is going to be realized through the Bechorah. The Bechorah is going to make the Gvir, the older one, the Bechor, get double portion, and he's going to have Eich Shvatim. He's going to be the main one. And in fact, the other one is going to be the Evid. And he was doing that. And Yitzchak thought he had no choice. Everybody's telling him, Esav, he's not as good as you think he is. Well, Yitzchak has no choice because you can't corrupt the Mishnah of Bechorah. He's forced, Yitzchak is forced through the whole Nevuah of Yud Beis Shvatim, Bnei Gvirs, Bnei Shvachos. He's forced that Esav is going to be the one. This is clearly how God designed it. If God wanted Yaakov to be the Bechor, it would have made him the Bechor. But God wanted Esav to be. He has no choice in the matter. That's the Mishnah of Bechorah. Of course, Yitzchak never finds out about the sale until this point. And then who do you give a bracha to? If you have two sons, one's going to be the Gvir, one's going to be the Ben Shivcha, the Eved. So then Yitzchak only gives one bracha. Okay, that's also just always perplexing. Fine, Yitzchak loves Esav. He wants to make Esav the best. He loves Esav. But why not give Esav a bracha and give Yaakov a bracha? Give them both brachos, right? Yaakov gave all his sons brachos, right, when he was dying. Why did Yitzchak only give a bracha to Esav? Why didn't he give it to Esav and Yaakov? Right, his initial plan. So you see, Rashi explains it to you. He says, Hein Gevir, in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Bracha zu shviyasiv, who also rishon. No, this was the last bracha. He says, Hein Gevir samtiv lach. Ela amar lo, mato elas, why does Yitzchak put it first? He says, mato elas lecha bracha, what's the point of giving you a bracha, Esav? Im tikna nechasim shalohim, even if you acquire nechasim, they're his, they're Yaakov's. Jere Gevir samtiv lach, umashakan evikan aramba. There's no point in blessing the Eved because whatever the Eved gets, it's all for the Rav. That's why Yitzchak was never intending to bless Yaakov because there's two boys. The Bechor is the one who's going to become the Gvir. The other one is going to become the Eved. You'll realize the Nevuah of the Bnei Gvir and Bnei Shvachos through Esav and Yaakov, and therefore he only had one bracha for the Bena, the Gvir. Yeah, Yaakov? How do I know that Eich Shvatim is Mishpat Bechor? I'm not saying Eich Shvatim is Mishpat Bechor. You see, Milka didn't have the Bechor, didn't get double. Milka had eight sons, not seven, right? It's just, this is how Yitzchak interpreted the Nevuah of Bnei Gvirs and Bnei Shvachos. Once he only married Rivka and he couldn't take on a Shivcha, he interpreted that the Bnei Gvirs and Bnei Shvachos are going to happen through his two kids. And then how are you going to have, you have two boys, how are you going to have, where's the Eved, where's the Shivcha? Is if the Bechor gets a double portion of Shnei Chalakim, okay, of double the amount of Shvatim, by Esav and Yaakov would be 2-1, but presumably Yaakov would have four kids, and Esav has eight kids, however it would have worked out. And that's how you have a Gvir and an Eved. And this is how Yitzchak interpreted the Nevuah of, Sarah's Nevuah of Yud Beis Shvatim, B'nei Gvirs and B'nei Shvachos, through himself. If you say, Ki B'Yitzchak Kar Chazerah, he's the Av, it's going to be realized through him. But on the other hand, Gorbar Tzazos, he's an Ol Tamima. He can't take a Shivcha. And now he has two kids. This is how Yitzchak realized the Bechor must get two Shvatim. That's how Yitzchak realized it must be. And he was going to give it to Esav. Esav is going to be the Gvir. There's no point in even giving a bracha to Yaakov because Yaakov is the Eved. Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo. And it was all, that's Yitzchak's plan. Of course, what Yitzchak didn't know is that Yaakov had bought the Bechorah from Esav. And really, Esav foolishly had sold the whole Bechorah because he didn't want to die through serving God and drinking wine and not cutting his hair and things like that. Esav had sold the whole thing without even hearing the full story. Yaakov was the Bechor. He was entitled to Shnei Shvatim, to become two Shvatim. And really, the bracha should have gone to him. And Esav shouldn't get any bracha. And that's when Yitzchak realized this. He realized, oh, this it all works out now. Everything worked out perfectly. Because they really, he interpreted the Nevuah properly. He just didn't know about the sale. Once he knew about the sale, Gam Baruch Yeh, it all worked out perfectly. Yaakov is the Gvir. Esav is the Eved. Now there's no bracha left over for Esav. Okay? Total. And then Esav starts crying. Esav would be in the four. That was exactly, just like Yaakov would have gotten the four, Esav would get the four. Okay? until Yitzchak realizes, and Esav is still entitled to the field. Okay, because it's true Esav sold the Bechor, but he didn't sell Pashad, right? He just sold the Bechor, so he was entitled to the four. But he's not, he's the Eved. Okay, Esav doesn't like that, obviously. But once Yitzchak realized this whole story, so the Pesach of Gehenim, what I think happened here when Esav keeps crying is Yitzchak realizes Esav is a Rasha. This is when Yitzchak realizes, Yitzchak Harada Gadola, Pesach of Gehenim is opening in front of him. This son who he thought he was going to be the one is ultimately a Rasha. I think he realized at this point that Esav is not even Shaykh to the other four. And that's when he gave Esav his own bracha. And his own bracha of Esav is like Yishmael gets his own bracha in a sense. He goes off on his own. It's Esav gets his own bracha, but Achar Bracha Tichya, Vayaka Vesachitha Tavod, Vayakashir Tarid Ufrak Olu Me'atzavarech. Is that Esav is ultimately not going to be part of Klal Yisrael at all. Yaakov is going to be the entire one. I think that's why Yitzchak is able to give him a bracha. Because Esav is not really going to be the Eved in this sense anymore of Yaakov and Esav. It's going to be this, you'll serve Yaakov, but when Yaakov is down, you'll rise up. It's going to be this antagonistic relationship of Klal Yisrael and Edom. And once Esav is not part of, you know, the Yud Beis Shvatim of Avram, then you give him his own bracha. Okay, but insofar it was in the Yud Beis Shvatim, you only bless the Gvir and you don't bless the Eved. Yes, sure. Okay, yeah. So that's what you see even more clearly in Pasuk Pasuk Dalet, when Yitzchak all of a sudden now says Vitin Chaz Birkas Avraham, Lachal Zarach Itach Lirishtas Eretz Migrecha. So Rashi says, As Birkas Amish Amrlov Escha Lagai Gadol Vizbarchu Bizarecha, you osen Abrachas Amurus Bishvilcha, Mimcha Yitz Esagai Vosazemavurach. So you see clearly Yitzchak realizes at this point, Esav is finished. Esav is a different nation. The entire Birchas Avraham are going to go to Yaakov. Okay? Yes.
That wasn't what he was doing before.
No. Initially, he was blessing Esav. Esav is going to be the Gviro, the Gvir, and Yaakov is going to be the Eved. They're both going to be Shvatim. He's going to be the Av. Avram and Yitzchak are going to be Avos, and Yaakov and Esav are going to be the Shvatim. Okay, there'll be a further subdivision from the 2-1 to the 8-4, but they were both going to get Birkas Avram. Initially, they were both going to get Birkas Avram. Of course, they're both Yitzchak's children, and they're both going to be the Yud Beis Shvatim. So the brachas were going to go to both of them. Esav again would have been the Gvir, and Yaakov would have been the Eved, and you had an 8-4 ratio there. But they both had a Birkas Avram. Once this whole thing happened and Yitzchak learned that Esav had sold the Bechorah and Yaakov heard about this whole thing, Yitzchak realized who Esav was. And he realized Esav is not going to be part of the Yud Beis Shvatim. He gives Esav his own bracha and then he gives the Birchas Avram exclusively to Yaakov.
Is it new? What's
yes, new now Yaakov becomes an Av. Or in just in the vis-a-vis Yitzchak. Vis-a-vis Yitzchak.
You already finished the bracha. Before.
Yes, you finish those brachas.
Now, is this a new bracha?
Is this a new bracha? Yeah, this is a new bracha. That was the bracha under the assumption that there is an 8-4 ratio, that Esav is part of Klal Yisrael, and Yaakov is going to be, or Yitzchak follows the other way. One's going to be the Gvir, one's going to be the Eved, but they're both going to be part of Shiftei Ka. Yubei Shvatim. What?
This is a slight revision?
It's not a revision. This is where that was within the idea that Esav is part of it. Yaakov and Esav are both part of it. This is after he gives the bracha to Esav and Esav is a separate nation. Then the exclusivity of the brachos come only to Yaakov.
I think he's saying like what is being given.
Oh, what was in the brachos of Yaakov? Well, what's the difference between the two? Okay, look at the brachos. Look at the difference. Yeah. Yeah. Vital Shemaim, Mishnei Eretz, Rav Degam Misirosh, Yevdu Chamim. Oh, the exclusive Eretz Yisrael is Birchas Avraham, is the second one. Eretz, if you look, it's Eretz Megurecha. Hashem is like Avraham. It's exclusive of Eretz Yisrael, ultimately the Goy Gadol, but not the Tal and the Mishnei Eretz. That was all part of the first one. Yeah, but it's a good question. It's worthwhile going down that path. For sure, contrasting that. I'm just pointing out that Yitzchak does seem to realize it. Ultimately, God himself tells Yaakov acknowledges that Esav has been kicked out of the Shvatim of Avraham in Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Tesvav in Vayetze. When Hashem comes to Yaakov in the famous dream of the Chalom, it says, Ki lo ezavcha asher imasisi asher dibarti lach. Rashi says, letzarkecha v'alecha, for you. Mashiv tachta, what does it mean? This is the first nevuah to Avraham. What does it mean that God spoke for him? Mashiv tachti la'avram alzaro l'chahiv tachti v'lo le'isav. So you get, it wasn't just Yitzchak who acknowledged it. It was Hashem himself comes to Yaakov, says that the brachos for Avraham, I promised Avraham, is to you and not to Esav. Ella shelo marti lo ki Yitzchak yikar l'chazera. Now God interprets this. The nevuah of ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazera, once Esav sins, is now explained by God. Okay, it could have been Esav, it could have been, but it had the opening for Esav sinning, and ki bi Yitzchak v'lo Allah ki bi Yitzchak, with Yitzchak, v'lo kol Yitzchak, not all of Yitzchak. Okay, so that's where God gives Yaakov the new Gzer Sakasa that you're an Av now, it's Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Yishmael's gone, Esav is gone, you're an Av again, there's still the split of Shvatim has not occurred yet. Okay? But something still needs to happen, okay? Because it's true in terms of Nevuah, in terms of Yitzchak's bracha, Yitzchak who has the right to give this over, in his bracha of Nevuah, his bracha to Yaakov, he's given it. In terms of Hashem, the Nevuah to Yaakov, he's acknowledged it's Yaakov and not Esav, or Rei Parshas Vayetze in the beginning. But there still needs to be the Mishpat, okay? You still have to acquire the Yerusha from Esav. Okay, just like Yaakov had to buy the Bechora from Esav, even though Rivka had that Nevuah given to her earlier, the Rav Yavod Sawyer in Parak Chafhe Pasik Chaf Gimel, right? Rivka Vayomer Hashem La, right? Shnei Lomi Bivinech, that there's going to be two nations, the Rav Yavod Sawyer, and the older one is going to serve the younger one. Rivka had that Nevuah. Again, you see the Imahos. The Nevuahs are all surrounding this. That was the Nevuah said to her through shame. But still, that Nevuah had to be carried out in actuality. Rav Yavod Sawyer for two reasons. One is a Nevuah has multiple interpretations. It has to be actualized. Second of all, and that's why Yaakov has to buy the Bechorah from Esav, and why Yaakov has to get the brachos from Yitzchak, because you have to actualize the Nevuah of Rav Yavod Sawyer, Rivka's Nevuah. But also, it's that you can't have Esav be ma'arer legitimately complaining that he was ripped off by Yaakov. He says, you know, Esav always is complaining that there's an injustice going on. He tricked me. But I mean, it's not true. Yaakov used his chachma to trick Esav, but it was done through mishpat. Esav sold it. Esav, ayiv is Esav b'chora. He didn't want to hear any further. He sold the b'chora, vayishav ali. He swore to him. Okay, so you still have to, the founding of Klal Yisrael has to be done through mishpat. It has to be done through an act of real justice. Okay, it's both to actualize the nevuah and concretize it, take it a final form, and also so that it's mishpat. So now it's true that God tells Yaakov, it's going to be you and not Esav, but ultimately Esav is the yorish of Yitzchak. And when is he going to, when are you going to get rid of Esav in terms of mishpat from there? Okay, so now let us go to... okay, so if you look in Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Zion, okay, so this is where Esav goes down, leaves Eretz Yisrael, and he goes down to Seir. Okay, so why does he do that? So he gets Esav as Nashav as Banav as Benosav, right? And he goes Vayelch Eretz Mnei Yaakov Ach. Okay, so Esav leaves. So now, what is the reason given why Esav leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to Seir? Why is he abandoned it? So Rashi says, "Midrash Agada, Ne Yaakov Achiv." What does it mean? Because of Yaakov, his brother, Ne Shtar Chov Shagzeras Ki Ger Yezarecha, because of the Shtar Chov of the obligation, the debt of the Bris Ben of Asarim, that you're going to be foreigners in a land that's not yours. Hamuta Azar Shi Yitzchak, that had transferred from Avraham to Yitzchak. And that's coming down to him also. That's going to Yitzchak. and Esav is Yaakov and Esav. Amar Eilach Lemikan in the Chelik Lob Matana Shenasna La'aretz Azos Lob Biranishtar. Esav said, I don't need this. I don't want to be part of the Brisbane of Asarim. I don't want to be part of Yitzchak and the Yerusha Sa'aretz. I don't want the punishment. I don't want the whole thing. And he leaves. Because he was embarrassed that he sold the Bechorah. Okay, which is a little weird. He's embarrassed he sold the Bechorah now. How old is Esav at this point? He's leaving because of the Bechorah. It's a little bit strange that it's mentioning the Bechorah at this point. Why is the Bechorah relevant? He's embarrassed about the Bechorah. And also, with this argument that Esav gets, that there's this Shtar Chov on the children of Yitzchak, you know what I mean? Now all of a sudden he wants to leave. It's an interesting argument for Esav to come up with on his own. And what's the chronology meaning? What? Well, all of a sudden he's leaving now? What? No. It's later. This is the end of Parshas V'yishlach. This is the end of Parshas V'yishlach. The very end of Parshas V'yishlach.
Right. Yaakov hasn't returned yet.
No, Yaakov has returned. Yeah, Yaakov returned early in the Parsha. Yaakov returned. Esav and Yaakov met up. Esav, thank God, doesn't kill Yaakov. They separate, never to see each other again. Yaakov says, I'll meet you. Acha avo doni se'ira. Right?
Right, so that's the problem. So he's already in
Seir. He's in, yeah, Esav goes to, what?
Already in Seir.
Okay, fine, but he never took all his stuff and went down there until the end of Parshas V'yishlach. That's what he says, he took all his stuff. Correct. But why is he doing it now? Okay, right. Why is he doing it now? Yeah, Esav was already, I think Ramban has it, he was a general for Seir initially, but then eventually he conquered them, took them over. But yeah, Ramban tries to work out, I think, what's bothering you. Okay, so which is what is going on here with this story? And Esav leaving, what caused him to do that? And what's the Bechorah? He's embarrassed about the Bechorah at this point. So, okay, so if you look in Rashi in Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Vav, okay, so this is I'm going to give over another, a shorter version of a shir I gave, I think it was called Esav Superego. Okay, so I'll try to give the basic pieces and I'll just do what's relevant, the part that we need. But here, but again, it's part of a bigger shear. So if it's not compelling, that's why. Okay. So if you look at the Rashi, it says Perek Memvav Pasuk Vav in Vayigash. It says when Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, it says Vayiflo es Mekneim Asher Ruchusham Asher Rachshu Beretz Kanan Vayvo Mitzrayim. So he took all the money from Eretz Kanan. He went down to Mitzrayim. Okay. So why only that money that he made in Eretz Kanan? Rashi says, "Masha Rachash with Padan Aram, Nasana Kola Esav. Everything that Yaakov had made in Padan Aram, when he had worked for Lavan, he gave it all to Esav, Bishvil Chelko b'Maris Machpelah, because of in order to pay for Esav's portion in Maris Machpelah. Amar Nifseh Chutzlaretz Eini Kedai Li, Vizehu Asher Karisi Li. Okay, and that's what it says, Asher Karisi Li, Perek Nun Pasuk Hey." By when Yaakov is telling them about Maris Machpelah, Karisi literally means dig, but the Medrash is Karisi can mean piles. Rashi says also if you look at Rashi on over there it says it can mean like piles, okay, stacks. Hemilotzi boren shel zav kesef can mean creek. So Yaakov made stacks of gold and silver, like a pile of wheat. Amarlo tolas elu, he said to Esav, take these for your chelik and Maris Machpelah. Okay. Another strange medrash. Where are they getting this medrash from? That Yaakov somehow bought Esav's chelik and Maris Machpelah for stacks of money. The whole thing is weird. Stacks and piles of money. It's a strange medrash. What's it based upon? What's going on there, right? Okay. So the key is like this. So we said before, and earlier in the Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov and Esav meet. Esav wants to accompany Yaakov. Yaakov says, go down to Seir. I'm not going to see you for now. I'll eventually get to you. Yaakov never seems to meet up with him. You don't find anywhere else in the Torah that Yaakov and Esav meet up again, except for one other time. Okay? They meet up on Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chaf Tes. Okay? So where do they meet up? Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chaf Tes. So it says, Vayigva Yitzchak, Vayamas, Vayesef Elamav, Zakin Usvayamim, Vayikbirosa Esav Yaakov Vanav. Okay, so when Yitzchak dies, Yaakov and Esav bury him in Maris Machpelah. Okay, of course, Esav goes first because Esav is always Ma'ar. Right? Yishmael did tshuva, he put Yitzchak before him, but Esav doesn't do tshuva. So Esav and Yaakov are meeting up at Maris HaMachpelah. Okay, so that's a good clue. That's the only real time we ever find Yaakov and Esav meet, other than right afterwards. And they happen to be at Maris HaMachpelah, which is good. Now, what's going to happen here? Now, Yitzchak dies. Now, what do you do? So now you have to divide his Yerusha. Okay, Yitzchak died. His Yerusha. So there's his regular money, and there's also Maris HaMachpelah. If you divide Maris HaMachpelah, okay? Now, when you do a Yerusha, and there's two sons, there's a Bechor, okay? So Yaakov, Esav, you sold me the Bechor. I get a double portion, okay? And Yaakov wants a double portion of Maris HaMachpelah. Okay, now Maris HaMachpelah has, it's, there's let's see if the Gemara quotes it. So let me just, I'll read a Gemara in Sotah, Gimel Bet Aleph. This is actually from when Yaakov died, and they were bearing Yaakov this story, but it's Esav, and then I'll come back to work out what happens here. When they're dividing it, when try to get my Avos correct here. When Yaakov and Esav are splitting up Yitzchak's portion, I'll come back then a second, at Maris HaMachpelah. First, let's go to when Yaakov's children are burying Yaakov at Maris HaMachpelah. Okay, so it's Rashi references the story by the in Vayechi, by the bracha, I think, of Naphtali. But it's going to pick it up. It's in the middle of the daf here. It says, Kivan Shigil Maris HaMachpelah. So when Yaakov's children brought Yaakov's body to Maris HaMachpelah, Asav Esav Kama'akid. So Esav came, and he started being ma'akev. He started causing problems. Amar lehem, mamye kiryas arba, hi chevron. So there's a nevuah apparently that was out there. Esav knew it, that it's called kiryas arba. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, and Esav apparently knew Rabbi Yitzchak. Maybe it was his father. Kiryas arba, arba zugos hayu. There was four couples that buried in Maris HaMachpelah. Adam v'chava, Avram Sarah, Yitzchak Rivka, Yaakov Alea. That's our Masorah. So he's saying it was four couples and no more. Okay. Ihu cover Leah b'didei. So Yaakov already buried Leah in his portion of Maris HaMachpelah. Right? There's basically, you already had seven of the eight graves were already taken up. Right? Six from the first three couples. Now there's two spots left. Yitzchak, right? Yaakov and Esav inherit Maris HaMachpelah from Yitzchak. There's two spots left. Yaakov used one spot for Leah. So he says, "Behind the fire is didihu." So Esau says, "This extra one is mine." Amrulei. So they said to him, Yaakov's children said to Esau, "Zavinte, you sold it. You sold Maris HaMachpelah." Amrulehu, "Ne dizvini bechurasa." It's true, I sold my bechor. But pshitusa mizavini, but I never sold my chelik of pashut. It's true, I sold the double portion, but I'm still entitled to my chelik of a son of Yitzchak, my pashut. I'm entitled to it for Maris HaMachpelah. So you can't, that's my plot. Amrulei, in, you sold that too. Dechziv, bechkevra sheh karisili. Yaakov told his children that the grave that I, bechkarisili, that I, amrubish, yocham, mishrim, shem, yotzadak, in kir lashem bechira. Okay? So then Esav says, show me the star. They send Naphtali back to get the star. Okay, and the whole chushin whacks him in the head. Esav's head falls off. You know that part of the story. Okay? So you see, there was this, Rashi says, "Pshitusa." Rashi says, "Nezivinti b'churase." I sold my b'chora, v'lo etal pishnayim. So it's fine. I shouldn't get pishnayim. But kemohu pshitusa mizavini chelki b'chek pashal mecharti. So I never sold that, right? So what's going on? So what happened now? So now let's go back using this Esav's dialogue. Okay, what happens? Yitzchak dies. Yaakov and Esav are at the kever or Maris HaMachpelah. Yaakov says to Esav, Yaakov's a smart guy, he's a chachma, says, you know what, Esav, I'm the bechor, I get double, okay, you swore to me that, everybody knows that. See, it was well known, Esav was embarrassed about this whole thing. And he says, okay, I get a double portion of Maris HaMachpelah. But Yaakov says, Esav, we have a problem here, Esav. There's only two spots left, okay? Now, if it was simple one-on-one, okay, good, you get one, I get one, but now there's a double portion. Okay, how are we going to work this out exactly? So, let's divide each kever up into three parts. So there's six total halakim. Two kevers, each one imagined has three parts. Okay? So Yaakov's the Bechor, you should get double. So you should get four out of the six portions, right? Which would be one kever plus a third of the second one. Right? Simply enough? Yasha should get one and a third, and Esau should get 2/3 of a kever. Okay, so that one Yaakov gets one for sure. Now the second kever available, Yaakov's entitled to 1/3 of it, and Esau's entitled to 2/3 of it. Yaakov said, "Problem: two people can't use one kever." Okay, so there's a halacha. What's the halacha? The halacha is good agud. Okay, when you have something like this, you do there's the principle when you have a yerusha of when you two brothers inherit the father, and there's something that doesn't lend itself to din chalukah, you can't split it. That's a chatzah. It's too small. So you have good or agud. So what happens is one brother buys out the other brother. So you have a bidding war. Is who's willing to pay more? So you know, so I'll pay you $1,000 for it. The other brother says, "I'll pay you $2,000, $3,000 for your chilek." And whoever's willing to pay the highest ultimately gets it. But you have a forced sale. You can't say no to the sale. Okay, Esav has no real choice. Esav says, "Fine, how much you want to pay?" Yaakov says, "I'll give you, I don't know, I'll give you $10,000." Esav says, "Okay, fine." But again, yeah, Esav says, "I'll match that, but you got to do double. Everything that Esav does, Yaakov has to do double. Because Yaakov is buying 2/3, Esav is buying 1/3. Okay, they start pushing their chips, gold and silver chips, piles. There are piles of chips going in. Every stack of chips that Esav does, Yaakov pushes 2 stacks in. Okay, it gets crazy. The bidding gets so crazy. At some point, all the money that Yaakov had made in Paddan Aram is in there. How much money? Yaakov was incredibly wealthy, so wealthy that Laban's children are getting jealous of him because you're taking all the money. There's a lot of money in there. And at some point, Yaakov tells Esav, "Listen, do you really want this thing? There's a whole shtar chov. Do you really want the avdu ve'ino sum? You're going to have to be ger yezarecha. Is this really the life that you want? Where did Esav get that argument from?" I think Yaakov is the one who told it to him. Just like Yaakov told him, "You don't want the bechorah because there's chiv misa attached to it." Yaakov tells him something that's true, but that Esav, once Esav hears it, Esav knows it's true. Yaakov puts that idea to his head. You're gonna have to be a ger for hundreds of years. You don't really want this. This whole thing anyway is humiliating to Esav. Because the whole thing, the fact that Yaakov is putting in double than he is because Yaakov bought the Bechorah. The whole thing is built upon the fact that Esav foolishly sold the Bechorah to Yaakov. That's why Esav is in this position where he's being bought out and from his Maris Machpelah. Ultimately, Esav decides it's not worth it. The amount of money in the pot is simply too big. He likes that money. He doesn't want Ger Yezerecha. And the whole thing is embarrassing to him because of Bechorah. He says, "Forget about it." He takes the money. He sells his portion of Maris Machpelah. When he sells his portion of Maris Machpelah, that's really where he sells out of Eretz Yisrael. Because Maris Machpelah, building on Rav Pesach Shir from a few weeks ago, is that was the Achuzas Olam that Avram had bought in Eretz Yisrael. That was the only Kenyan that really the others really had in Eretz Yisrael was Maris Machpelah. That was the Yerusha to Yitzchak, to Yaakov and Esav. When Esav ultimately sells Maris Machpelah, he's selling out of Eretz Yisrael. And I think that's afterwards. After he sells that Eretz Yisrael, after Yitzchak dies, that's when Esav goes down, leaves Eretz Yisrael, Mimnei Yaakov Achiv, leaves and goes to Seir. That's where he says, "I don't want the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. I don't want the Berachos Avram. I'm done with all this." He takes his money and he leaves Eretz Yisrael. Okay? That is the moment when Yaakov actualized through his Chachma, when he actualized the completely eliminating Esav, Alpi Mishpat, from the Shiftei Kaf, from being part of the Yabei Shvatim. Through Mishpat. Now, of course, Esav is Ma'arer, and that's what Yaakov got it in writing, and the Shtar. But still, it has to all be done through Mishpat. Okay. Now that we have that, okay, good. Now with that, I think it did, but Yaakov kicked him out. I mean, Avram kicked him out. That was what Sarah says. You have to kick him out. Otherwise, he's the Yorish, and Avram has the ability to like kick him out, and that's what he did. He likes... I think that's Mishpah. I think that was the Mishpah. He's the right to, she's the Shifcha. He has the right to just kick him out. And that's what Sarah demanded that Avram do. Avram had to do it and got to Shema B'Kolo. That's why it wasn't enough, the Nevuah before the Bris Milah, that God said it's going to be Yitzchak Na Yishmael. Sarah realized it has to be actualized through Mishpah. And that's what kicking out Yishmael was. B'nai Keturah, he sent them away also. Yeah, he sent them away. Yeah, the B'nai Keturah also were sent away. Exactly. So they're not the B'nai Shvachos. Correct. He be Yitzchak. It's only Yitzchak.
So that's considered that he bought out the Pasha?
Yeah, he bought it out. What? No, Esav sold it. Esav sold it. He sold it for a lot of money. He sold it for a lot of money. Just Maris Machpelah. No, that was just his Chelek Pasha in Maris. But Maris Machpelah was the Kenyan the Avos had for the entire Eretz Yisrael. That was in a certain sense. There were Pesach Shir. That was how their Kinyan Yisrael was through the Maris Machpelah. Okay, and that's when Asa really just abandoned Eretz Yisrael. Oh, that's why am I saying abandoned? Yeah, I hear. I guess the question is how literally you want to take that connection between the Kinyan and Maaseh Machpelah represents the entirety of Eretz Yisrael or not? If he's taking it really strongly, that was the Kinyan of Eretz Yisrael, was through Maaseh Machpelah, then yeah, he sold it out and he left. He sold down and he left. Right, correct. Okay. Now to try to bring it back to Reuven. Okay. So when Esav is gone, when Esav is gone, bought out completely, so now Yaakov becomes an Av also, right? Esav no longer has anything. No longer has any chelek in the Yud Beis Shvatim. And now Yaakov is exclusively the Av. It's going to be Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And now the Shvatim are going to be entirely from Yaakov. Now you have like a new generation. The Shvatim, Yud Beis Shvatim are going to happen through Yaakov's kids now. So now what happens to this Chus Bechorah that existed on the level of Yaakov and Esav? So that's Chus Bechorah of two Shvatim. When Yaakov buys out the Maaseh Machpelah, that Chus becomes irrelevant. There are no Shvatim anymore. There's no longer that idea that the Bechor becomes two Shvatim. It becomes irrelevant, inconsequential. It ultimately has no expression on that level because Yaakov and Esav are no longer the Shvatim. Yaakov is the Av, and Yaakov's kids are going to be the Shvatim. Okay? So that Bechorah of two Shvatim, that's Chus, which was very important in terms of Yaakov getting the Bracha. Ultimately, once Yaakov becomes an Av, never actually realizes itself. Okay, so now what happens? So now God tells Yaakov, before Reuven even sins, he says, Goy ukal goy miyami mecha. Okay, he says to Reuven that there's, he says to Yaakov, Goy ukal goy. Okay, now Yaakov says, remember then Perek Mem Ches Daled, that Yaakov originally interpreted it that he was going to have more children. Okay. And in fact, it would seem the fact that the Shechina was going to the bed of Bilhah, telling Yaakov to go to Bilhah that night, that there really would have been more children from Bilhah. Okay, it wasn't done. Okay, it's really only after Reuven sinned, and there's a break, a parsha break. That says Vayi b'nei Yaakov shnei masar, right? There was more kids coming. Okay, there could have been more kids had Reuven not sinned. Okay, by Reuven moving the beds, and I failed to give a shiur about Reuven's sin. Why exactly that ruined the relationship to Yaakov? Why it made it no longer possible for Yaakov to be the progenitor of any more children? That was Mechal of the Shechina. The Shechina never came back in terms of Yaakov's bet, in terms of having more kids. That was the end of. Yaakov having more children after Reuven sinned. Yaakov was supposed to have more kids through Bilhah. Okay, what those children would have been like? It's a rabbit hole, another one of these things. I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to go into it. You can ask me afterwards what that would have been. I like either they would have been simple pshat, they would have been shnei shvatim, but like sub shvatim, right? There's still only 12 shvatim. Just like Menashe Ephraim substitute in certain situations. Maybe these children of Bilhah would have substituted. On the other hand, it's very strange. What does it mean Bilhah would have had a kid? Who's going to raise the kid? Bilhah can't raise a kid. Rachel raises a kid. Leah raises the kids. Bilhah and Zilpah don't raise kids. They don't know. They're not Rachel and Leah. Okay, so was Leah going to raise Bilhah's kid? That's hard to understand. So it could have been that the Shnei Shvatim from Yaakov would have been something else. Okay, but in any event, what they would have been is really going down the what if would have happened. But Reuven did sin. And Yaakov doesn't have any more children. Okay? Now Yaakov realizes that that Zchus Bechor that he acquired from Esav of Shnei Shvatim, okay, that's what God was coming to him and telling him about. Okay? Is that he has that, he acquired that. There are no, that is something that he bought for himself. He bought the Bechor from Esav. And because he bought Maaseh Machpelah, he caused that Zchus that he bought to become like laden, to become unexpressible. But he was entitled to that because Asher lakachti miyad ha'amori, he bought everything from Esav. Okay? And because he bought that and through his chachma and his bakasha and his tefillah, in order to acquire all this stuff, he deserved something from it. And what he got was his chus matana. He had the matana that's before of Shnei Shvatim. He had the ability to give that out to anybody he wanted. That was his because he acquired it. It wasn't a natural. It didn't happen on the level of Yud Beis Shvatim, of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. On that level, Yaakov's kids, there was no before of Tu Shvatim. Okay, Reuven. If Reuven had not sinned, Reuven would not have become Tu Shvatim. Okay, there would have been more kids born. Two more kids would have been born. That's how Gayu Kal Goyim would have been realized if Reuven hadn't sinned. Because just like Milka, when you had 12 Shvatim, there was no Bechor of Shnei Shvatim when Milka had it. The phenomenon of the Bechor of taking two Shvatim was something that only existed in the period when it was Yaakov and Esav. When it was Yaakov and Esav, and it's happening through Yitzchak, and Yitzchak can't marry Shifcha. Now you have these two boys, and one's going to be the Gvir, and one's going to be the Eved. Then the Bechor is the way to resolve who's the Gvir and who's the Eved. That's when it existed, the phenomenon of the Bechor of Shnei Shvatim existed in that expression of the Nevuah of Yud Beis Shvatim and the Gvir and the Eved. That's when it was. But Yaakov acquired that. Now for Yaakov's kids, there was no intrinsic din of a Bechor of Shnei Shvatim. It was never going to come to Reuven. If Reuven hadn't sinned, it would have been the Yaakov's extra kids that he would have got would have happened through Bilhah. There would have been some type of sub-Shvatim, however that would have worked out. Once Reuven sinned and Yaakov can't have any more kids, by the way, Ramban says it openly in terms of Pshat. He says that's how Yaakov was going to have more kids through Bilhah, and Reuven caused him not to have any more children. Okay, so it's not just a wild idea. And Rashi references it that Yaakov saw and initially thought he was going to have more kids. Once Reuven sinned, and now the Shiftikar fixed, the Yud Beis Shvatim, by Yaakov, Shnei Masar, the children of Yaakov are fixed at 12. And Yaakov realizes that thing that he acquired from Esav, the Shnei Shvatim, it's a schus kinyan that he got, and he has the right to give that out to anybody he wants. Okay? Is it working? Everybody's following this? It's a little complicated, just working out the thing, Shnei Shvatim. Okay? So it's a schus, a one-time schus that existed in the level of Yaakov, of Yitzchak's Bechor, of Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov acquired it legally, and then he rendered it by buying the Bechor from Esav. He rendered it latent or ineffective by buying the Maris Machpelah from Esav and kicking Esav in entirely. But Hashem tells him, because you acquired it, at least that's how Yaakov interpreted it, because he acquired it, he was entitled to something. And he was entitled to split one of his Shvatim into two. Okay? So on the one hand, it's a Zechus Bechor. It's a Zechus Bechor. It is a Bechorah. Because that's what, it's a Pishnayim of a Bechorah, of double. It just came from one generation earlier. And it was never coming to Reuven. It never was coming to Reuven, and Reuven never lost it in a certain sense directly. That's why the way Reuven lost it was because, just like he would have gotten Malchus, he would have gotten Kahuna because Reuven was the oldest. If Reuven hadn't sinned, then he would have gotten Shnei Shvatim also. Yaakov had this chus, and he would have. Is insofar as there is a phenomenon, Shnei Shvatim, who should it go to? It should go to the Bechor, it should go to the oldest. So it could have gone to Reuven. Because Reuven sinned, he wasn't entitled to it. It went to the Yosef, who was his best son. Okay, so this is a little complicated, but listen to the point here. If Reuven hadn't sinned, there wouldn't have even been Shnei Shvatim of a split of two Shvatim. Yaakov would have acquired it, and whatever, it wouldn't have been relevant. And what does he benefit from the acquiring it? The fact that he became an Av and Esav was kicked out. Yaakov would have more kids with Bilhah. Once Reuven sins and Yaakov has no more kids, now Yaakov realizes this gzeiras hakasuv of Goyu Kal Goyim is a schus he's entitled to. Yes, Reuven stopped him from having more kids, but he's still entitled to the schus of Goyu Kal Goyim. So that means one of his Shvatim is going to split into two. Okay, he has the matana to give out. Who should he give it out to? Okay, so intrinsically, you should give it out to the Bechor because the Bechor is the oldest one, just like you should give out Malchus to the Bechor. But Reuven has sinned. It doesn't make any sense that Reuven, who is the very cause of this whole thing, to get the Shnei Shvatim. That's why Yaakov didn't give this Zechus Bechor to Reuven as a matana, rather, he gave it to Yosef. Okay, so that's why this is not a violation of Lo Yuchal Levakir. Anything intrinsic Bechor that Reuven got because he's the Bechor of Yaakov, Reuven Bechor Yaakov, he didn't lose any of that. Reuven never lost the Bechorah that came from being the Bechor of Yaakov, because that would be a violation of the Daraisa of Lo Yuchal Levakir. You can't take that away from Reuven. He's the Bechor. Okay? But the one Zechus Bechor that Reuven didn't get, that he should have got, in theory, if he hadn't sinned, but because of Mechal Yitzi Aviv, he didn't get, was the Zechus Bechor that came from Yitzchak. that Yaakov had acquired that he had the right to give out to anybody. Now he would have given it out to Reuven, just like he would have given out the Malchus to Reuven and the Avodah to Reuven. Yes, yes, or us. He would have had everything. But because Reuven sinned, Yaakov didn't give it to him. Okay? Rather, he gave it to Yosef. But it's not a violation because it wasn't Reuven's Betoris Bechor Yaakov. It was really Yaakov's to give out because he's the Bechor of Yitzchak that he acquired. So it's no violation of Le'yucha Levakir. Why doesn't Yaakov mention that to Reuven by saying, Yeser Se'esiv, Yeser Oz, Reuven, you should have been double Shvatim. If you hadn't sinned, you would have had the Malchus, you would have had the Kahuna, you would have had Shnei Shvatim. You can't say that because if Reuven hadn't sinned, there wouldn't have been Shnei Shvatim. Yaakov would have had more kids through Bilhah. That's why, you understand, that's why Yaakov never said to Reuven, you lost it because of your sin. Because if he hadn't sinned, there wouldn't have been more kids. But now that he did sin, in a sense, he does lose it because now there is the Shnei Shvatim, which in theory the Bechor is entitled to, but Reuven loses it because of his sin. He's passed over for Yosef. So we answered the questions. Does everything follow? It's complicated. You see it then, but does everything follow this part? You understand how it all works out beautifully with Reuven? It, in a sense, Yaakov acquires it from Esav. Yeah, go ahead. I'll pass summers at the end.
Yes, Yaakov buys that Esav.
Yaakov buys that Esav at Maros Machpelah, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, good.
Why then?
Okay, so Reuven is the Bechor of Yaakov, but now that you have Yaakov is the Av, so now Yaakov has 12 Shvachos. The way B'nai Gvirus and B'nai Shvachos works out is different than it would have worked out through when Yitzhak would have been Yaakov and Esav. It works out differently. It works out through Bilhah and Zilpah. There's this new edition of the Nevuah of four wives. And the B'nai Shvachos are treated in a different way. They become like Nashim. That's the Nevuah to Rachel and Leah, that the Bilagshim are also Nashim. And it's a different level of expression of the B'nai Shvatim and the B'nai Gvirus and B'nai Shvachos. And in that framework, there's 12 kids. There is no evidence that there's going to be a Bechor of Shnei Shvatim. The only way you knew the Bechor of Shnei Shvatim was on Yitzchak, because Yitzchak can't marry Shifcha, and Yitzchak has two children. So then you say, Yitzchak says, and Rivka also, Rav Yavot Zayir, that the way that the Nevuah of Gvirus and Shvachos is going to work out is by the Bechor is going to be the Gvir, and the youngest son, the Zayir, is going to be the Evan. It was on that level of the expression of the Nevuah of Yud Bei Shvatim, B'nei Gvirus and B'nei Shvachos, when the Bechor gets two double chelik in Shvatim. Once that was over, because Yaakov brought up Maros Machpelah, and you like reset the Nevuah, and the Yud Bei Shvatim is worked out through Yaakov, not through Yitzchak, then it expressed itself differently through Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah, Yud Bei's 12 children, and then the Bechor is not going to be a 13th. Who even said that would have happened? There was no, it wasn't going to be, just like Milcah didn't have it, there was no Bechor. There was no Schus Bechor of Shnei Shvatim intrinsically in Yaakov's children. It was never coming to Reuven intrinsically.
In that case,
there's the Bechor because Yaakov had acquired it from Esav. He had acquired that, and he had bought Esav out. And God said, because you did that, you're entitled to something. Like a Schus Matana. You, Yaakov, because of what you did, from kicking out Esav through your Chachma Becharbi Bekashti, right? So that's how Yaakov's explaining to Yosef, his justification. Because in my Chachma, my Tefillah, I acquired the Shnei Shvatim, this Chus from Esav, and then I bought Maros Machpelah from him, kicked Esav out entirely. So I'm entitled to that. He didn't get to use that because since he bought Esav out entirely, he never got to use the Shnei Shvatim. And God says, you get to give that out as a matana to any of your kids. So it's his Chus Bechora, but it's his Chus Bechora from Yitzchak that Yaakov has the right to give out as a matana to any one of his kids.
Why is that?
It's a good because he gets to choose his favorite kid, the Ben Ahava Yosef, and he gets to make him into two, Menashe and Ephraim. He loved Ephraim, like Gemara with him for 17 years. He gets to choose Reuven and Menashe Ephraim, Reuven and Vishimon Yehud. That's what Yaakov wanted. That's his Rachel's, this is Rachel's kids, his loved wife. This is what Yaakov wanted. And it's his choice. It's his freedom because of what he went through with Esav and how he acquired it through his Chachman and his Tefillah. He acquired that Tzvus to get to choose. To make one of his shvatim, two shvatim, and he gets to do that through Yosef, Menashe Ephraim. That's his chus that he was entitled to. Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, just sorry. Joy's asking a question. I'll get to you in a second. Okay, go ahead, Joy.
Is the that's coming from the Talmud?
Yeah, that's the.
Not coming from the Rav.
No.
Rav and Sarah is
Yaakov and Esav. No, Rav Yavatsar was the Nevuah to Rivka about Esav serving Yaakov. Oh, the B'nai Gviros and B'nai Shvachos.
Yes,
that was fulfilled through Rachel Leah, the B'nai Gviros, Ephraim B'nai Gviros, and Bilhan Zilpah, the four B'nai Shvachos.
Okay.
That's what that was right. There's no Bechor anymore. Bechor doesn't play, wouldn't have played a role in the B'nai Yaakov. Right, the fact that the Bechor is the Gvir and the younger one is the Eved, that was only how the Nevuah of Yud Bei Shvatim, B'nai Gviros, B'nai Shvachos would have expressed itself on the level of Yitzchak with Yaakov and Esav. Then Bechor becomes the Gvir and the other one becomes the Eved who doesn't even get a bracha. Right, but once you do a reset and Yaakov becomes an Av in his own right, not just a Shevet, so then and his kids become Shvatim, then there's no such thing as a Yud Bei of two Shvatim. It's not intrinsic in the Bechor of Yaakov. Look, Yeruvin gets Nachala, he gets Minyan, he gets Avoda, but he went to God Shnei Shvatim. It's a Bechora, but it's a Schus Bechora that Yaakov has a right to give out because it's not intrinsically Reuven's. And that's why he's not violating any mitzvahs by doing that. Yeah, go ahead, Yaakov. Why does Yaakov give it to Yosef? I think it's the like pasuk in Devar Yamim says because it's Yaakov says Yehuda Yaducha Achicha is the Malchus has to go to Yaakov realizes you can't force the Malchus on the other brothers. He tried that once by giving Yosef the coat and it blew up in his face. So that's why else is he did make Yosef right away after Reuven sin. He made Yosef the special one. He gave him the coat. That's why if you look when Leah said U Ma Bein Bini U Bein Chami between Reuven and Esav. Is you say, she said, like, not only did Reuven not sell the Bechor, like, Reuven never, there was never a Mishpat transfer from Reuven to Yosef, right? He never did that. He just lost it from what he could have got because of his sin, but he saved him from the pit. So it sounds like Yaakov made Yosef the Bechor, he took the Malchus from Reuven, he took the Shnei Shva, everything from Reuven, he gave it to Yosef and he gave him the Ksonas Pasa. And Reuven still saved Yosef, you know, that Reuven still saved Yosef. But Yaakov saw that you give the Malchus, you force on the other sons who's going to be the one who's in control. The Malchus, that blew up, that caused all the fights. So that he said, Yehuda has to be the Malch because that's who the other brothers, that's who his all the other sons respected. Yaducha Chicha. And then the Pasuk in Devarim also makes that point. He's a nugget on his brothers. They recognize Yehuda. But the Shnei Shvatim, that's Yaakov has the right to do whatever he wants. Who cares if they don't like that? That's their problem. He makes Yosef Menashe Ephraim, that's it. Nobody seems to have any problem with that anymore. But Malchus, you can't do that. Okay. Oh, yeah, one more question. Go ahead. On Zoom?
I was just thinking that maybe, I remember from Rabbi Feder Shur that Reuven Sin also ended up like creating like a more of a machloket between the brothers because they didn't take, you know, they didn't take Yaakov as seriously. So it kind of seems to me like giving the double portion to Yosef kind of like it puts like things more on a balance because it seems like, I don't know, like maybe the tribes became sort of split between Leah's sons and the Yosef and the Bnei Shvachot. So it seems like it puts everything in more of like a, I don't know, kind of a balance, no?
Oh, by balancing it out. Yeah, by balancing out, giving Rachel more Shvatim as opposed to Leah. Yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah, or making it like restoring sort of like some, you know, so that Bnei Leah are not like the, you know, superior ones.
Right. You're saying why Yaakov would give it to Yosef to balance out the Shvatim and to create some balance in the Yibbe Shvatim.
Yeah. Yeah, and even like Bila having also another son would make sense also in terms of like having more of a balance. But then sure. After the whole thing.
I know, I agree. Bila would have been from, Bila was Rachel's, and somehow that would have been, that's why I don't think Leah would have raised the kid. Because the whole point is.
Yosef was in charge. It says Yosef was like with the sons of Bila, and then Benjamin was, you know, very much, you know, attached to Yosef.
Yes.
So it seems like Yosef was like the leader of the other group.
Yeah, be careful. But, it's like when you just plan out, you know, it's very, very speculative. We try to work
okay.
Exactly what would have worked. Let me take up the questions on the chat now. Okay, did Sarah have the nevuah before the nevuah of Yitzchak? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Why does there have to be an Evet? So that's what I was trying to explain. Why is there an Evet? It's like intrinsic in the it's this hierarchy. Is if everybody wants to be king, you have a lot of fighting. So building in a structure where there's four shvatim that are subservient shvatim, and it plays out on Har Grizim, Har Eval, the shvatim, the Bnei Shvachos are separated on by the cursed one. By the Mishkan, that was Rashi points out that, who is it? Aliyav was from Sheva Dan, and he was equal to Bezalel, who's from Sheva Yehuda, even though he's from Redudim Shebashvatim, that Dan was from the Shvachos. So you see, and when you see the Galim, the Shvachos are Dan, is grouped with Asher and Naphtali, I think. So you see, there is always there is this hierarchy in Klal Yisrael where there's Rachel and there's Leah, and then there's the Bnei Shvachos, and it's part of the diversity and complexity of Klal Yisrael, and how there's a hierarchy of the structure, and that's all part of the necessity of forming a nation. You can't have everybody be the same. Having people be different with different talents, having people have different positions of authority, that's all part of having Klal Yisrael. And it goes against our grain, but you know it exists to some degree. And look, if the people like Reuven should have had Malchus, but because of his sin, he lost it. So, you know, we work it out. The king's oldest son should get be the Malch, but if he sins, it's not Chachman Yira, you can lose that. So there is this hierarchy, but on the other hand, you could also lose it if you sin. Yeah.
Just reflect on the fact. Sort of suggesting that the Yahweh's not like an essential idea. It's just like, we just have to be because of these other problems.
Right, I'm saying the Avos, the right, Avram has to have Yad Beishvat. That's going to happen. Now, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, that plays out because of the story of Hagar and Ishmael and the story of Esav. Because of their Bechir decisions, you ultimately have that Yad Beishvat plays out through Yaakov and not earlier. And yeah, and the reason Yaakov is an Av and not a Shevet is because of Esav and because of what he acquired from Esav. So yes, they didn't intrinsically have to have three avos. It's the way that the nevuah ended up playing out. As you kicked out Yishmael and you kicked out Esav, Yitzchak becomes an av and Yaakov becomes an av. Correct. Yeah, it's interesting. It is really interesting that these nevuahs have different ways of being actualized. I know you think Av means like Yaakov, but it's good the way it worked out. We're happy the way it worked out. Okay. I think it's the last question here. Originally, Yitzchak planned for the Birkas Avram to go to both. Yeah, originally I think that's supposed to happen. It's like originally thought it was going to be both Yaakov and Esav, and then he thought Esav was going to be the Gvir and Yaakov would have been the Eved, but they both would have had Eretz Yisrael, of course. Even when Yaakov takes the bracha from Esav, Esav is still entitled to Eretz Yisrael as the Bnei Shivcha, but it's humiliating for him and he gets bought out by Yaakov. Amar Samachpela and Esav abandons that he doesn't need to be part of Eretz Yisrael if he's going to be subservient. He sold the Bechorah, that's humiliating for him. He takes the money and he doesn't want the Shtar Chov and he leaves the whole thing, starts his own destiny in Seir, and that's when Esav cuts out. Yeah. Well, you still have it even when it does, but in a different way. Originally, when Yaakov gets the bracha, Rav Yavud says, Yaakov's the Gvir, and Esav becomes the Evet, like in Yitzchak's bracha. Then Esav starts crying, and then when he gets a new bracha, even as a separate nation, it's Yitzchak says to him, no, it's before that. It's as Achicha Tavod. Right, so Esav still serves Yaakov as a separate nation, but it's limited in the sense that when Yaakov is sins and doesn't keep the Torah, then Esav gets the upper hand. So you still have Rabbi Avod Sayer playing out, just not within Klal Yisrael. And also, it's not always. It only plays out when Yaakov keeps the Torah. That's the point. Like Rabbi Avod Sayer, it can express, it could have, there's different ways that could have been realized. It's realized in this dichotomy. And ultimately, Rabbi Avod Sayer in Yom Mashiach, Klal Yisrael doesn't keep the Torah. And then, right, exactly. Oh,
it's my,
So that's Rivka's nevuah, but that nevuah has to be actualized, and that's actualized through these. I mean, what would that have been if? Okay, no. See, Binyamin is called a guy. Goyim kagoyim. Binyamin. Each of the shvatim is called a guy. So you could have had two goyim, would have been two segments of Klal Yisrael. Okay, Binyamin. Just, you know. So it's all there. So. Yes, correct.
And once it couldn't be fulfilled, it was ruined.
Okay, that's a possible. Yeah, go ahead.
God saw
To split the two shvatim. Correct. Yeah,
wouldn't
exactly.
happen.
Without that, well, he would have had two more kids. Two more kids, correct. Correct. Yeah, there is that thing of just, again, just to might as well speculate now, why not? Is originally it's Goyu Kal Goyim. When Yaakov tells it to Yosef, he says Kal Amim. So it could be, and Rashi pays a lot of attention on Kal Goyim. He says your kids are going to be like Goyim, they're Makrivan Bamos, like Eliyahu and Har Carmel, when he created this thing with, like, I don't go into it. Forget it. Okay, it's too much. The question is to speculate what would have been, why did it change from Kal Goyim to Kal Amim? That's the question. What would have the kids of Bilhah really been like? What, you know, if that's what I want to say, is if Reuven hadn't sinned, it would have been Kal Goyim. They would have been a certain type. They would have been sub shvatim, but they would have been able to interact with Goyim in a certain way. Once that changed, the two shvatim became incorporated to Klal Yisrael, Kal Amim, and now you need the Harasha of Eliyahu and Har Carmel to deal with the mythology of Avodah Zarah. Different point, rabbit hole here. So that's a different point. Okay, but as you have to be careful when you do this is how far you're willing to speculate. When you start speculating about what Bill's kids would have been like, it really gets very far from it. You know, it's very hard to figure that out. Okay. Any more questions on the? Any more questions? Beautiful. Okay, fine. What? The transference. Oh, for me, what is Reuven's sin? I mean, that's I like. I think Reuven gets the Bechoros Kapti Avodah. That's really because the Chet of the Egel. That's really the Chet of the Egel. I mean, how exactly the relationship between those two? I mean, I have a shiur called Firstborn Failure. I try to work out the tie between the Chet of the Egel and Reuven's sin somehow, something like that. But I mean, that's really because the Chet of the Egel of why that transfer to Levi. But it's related to Reuven's sin. One, my last point is in the Torah in Sefer Shmos. There's a break in the Torah. The whole Torah becomes out of order the second half of Sefer Shmos after Matan Torah because of the Chet of the Egel and the Mishkan. That really is like a shift in Klal Yisrael's history if they hadn't served the Egel. In Sefer Dvarim, you also have a break in the Torah by the Parsha of Vayihi ben Zarah in Bahalosa, where history has changed. And the Rav's famous Bahalosa Shir of how history was altered because of the Chet of the Meraglim. I think also in Brachos is that break in the middle of the Parsha of Reuven's sin. In the middle of the pasuk, it says, you know, Reuven sins, a break in the pasuk, a partial break, and then by Yibnei Yaakov Shnei Masa. And then, you know, so I think is Reuven's sin really altered the whole expression of the Yud Beis Shvatim? If Reuven hadn't sinned, you have the Shechina still going to Bilhah's tent, and Yaakov's going to have more kids that way. You're not going to have Menashe and Ephraim. If Reuven hadn't sinned, the Rav has a whole thing is then the brothers wouldn't have sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim. That's also a consequence of Reuven's sin. That's why he was doing tshuva when he saw the brothers selling Yosef down. So really what shaped the whole fate from that point on, Reuven's sin really was like a break in the history of Klal Yisrael. Really fixed the Yud Beis Shvatim, Yaakov's kids. It caused Reuven to lose everything. Yehuda becomes the Melech, the rise of Yehuda, story of Tamar. Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim, Menashe and Ephraim. But like, Reuven's sin is like this critical moment where he's mechallel the Shechina, az chilat yitzuyei Allah, zechil the Shechina. It changes the whole direction of the Yud Beis Shvatim, and it takes on like a new course in history. So I think that's imbracious. It's like I just notice a lot of the shiurs I give, it always comes back to Reuven's sin. A lot of them revolve around this. I think that parsha, the break in the middle of the pasuk, it's the same kind of idea as in Shmos and in Dvarim, where it's like a break in the history of how it plays out. I think Reuven's sin, it's very central. In Bamidbar and Shmos. Bamidbar is even Zoran, and Shmos is really the whole Chet Egel on the Mishkan. Everything becomes out of order. Torah changes everything there because of like the change in the history. The Torah covers that up. That's what covers up the Egel thing. I give like a really long shiur about that one. Remember that one? Really long. But that's the Torah really patched up the thing. But the Rashi comes in and shows you everything is out of order. Oh, Kisisa is out of order there. The same kind of thing. Torah patched it up there with the Mishkan. And so I try to cover up that break. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank
Worked out.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Okay.